of a significant amount, which they are talking about, that can't help but have a positive downward effect on prices.
The promise to boost oil production came as the president was pushing the prince to do something about gas prices. A devastating discovery in Georgia today. The bodies of two missing toddlers since Saturday were found dead in an algae-covered pond. Dennis Payne, the father of the 2- and 3-year-old, says his wife, his daughter managed to escape out of a locked door when his wife was watching.
She was in the room, and the youngest one opened up the door. That's what she said, and when she came around the corner, the door was wide open, the kids were gone.
Foul play is not suspected in the children's deaths. The jury in the Michael Jackson case won't hear from one former employee, reports our Ted Rollins.
Prosecutors announced that Chris Carter, a former bodyguard, will not testify. Carter, who they fought for last week to come in and testify, was going to allegedly talk about Jackson's relationship with the current accuser, and he was expected to be the only non-family member to say Jackson gave the boy and his brother alcohol.
The judge did, however, rule Jackson's ex-wife, Debbie Rowe, can testify for the prosecution. This is news from CNN Radio.
Hi, this is Alan Thicke, and spring is almost upon us. Time for you and your spouse to start making plans for that romantic getaway you pined for all winter. So where do you think you'll want to go? Never mind, I've got it. An idea guaranteed to make that special person in your life love you just a little bit more. How about spending 3 days and 2 nights at a fantastic Las Vegas resort and you don't pay a dime for it? It's all part of Las Vegas' 100-year birthday celebration, courtesy of Soleil Resorts, and no one throws a party like Las Vegas. That's right, 3 days, 2 nights, no strings attached, just a small refundable room deposit is all that's required. Start off the summer right with a fantastic complimentary second honeymoon package. Call right now. Soleil will also throw in tickets to a hot show right on the Strip. Beat that, huh? Couples, just call 1-888-26-VEGAS. 888-26-VEGAS. For the time of your life, that's 888-26-VEGAS.
It's a seller's market when it comes to home sales, says Chief Economist David Luray with the National Association of Realtors.
An operation which was, the government alleges, protected by the Taliban. Manhattan U.S. Attorney David Kelly says it shipped a lot of heroin this way.
This morning, we unsealed a 2-count indictment charging Norzai with conspiring to import into the United States and to possess with intent to distribute more than 500 kilograms of Afghan heroin worth more than $50 million.
Haji Bashir Norzai's operation had suspected terrorism ties. Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio, New York.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting on the arrest of the kingpin of one of the world's largest heroin operations. The end of filibustering on Capitol Hill may soon be stopping. In private talks with Majority Leader Bill Frist, the Senate's top Democrat, Harry Reid, says the minority party will be willing to confirm the president's judicial nominees as part of a broader compromise. This is CNN Radio News. It's a seller's market when it comes to home sales, says Chief Economist David Luray with the National Association of Realtors.
Home price appreciation was 11.4%. That was the largest rise since December 1980. So certainly demand is a lot greater than supply right now.
Average sale price in March, $195,000. This crime was stopped by a nose. More than 800 pounds of Mexican bologna was smuggled into the U.S. without being refrigerated. Patrols found the meat in suitcases on a bus. The man who owned the cold cuts says he was going to sell them at a flea market. The Agriculture Department has destroyed the meat. It's a girl and a boy. Emily Robinson of the Dixie Chicks has given birth to twins. Mom and babies, Juliana Tex and Henry Benjamin, are doing just fine. I'm Michelle Wright. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
The imposition of a state religion is, by its very definition, anti-American. What we're talking about is the imposition of a particular strain of religion. And this is part and parcel of the baby steps that lead to fascism. Right. Eventually, we will get there if these people have their way.
Morning's Edition, from 5 to 8.
Lloyd Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike, 92.1.
And now, NBA All-Star Jerry Stackhouse.
Discipline and control.
That's what my parents taught me. They've shown me by example, by the way they live their lives. You see, my parents are living with diabetes, and in many ways, managing diabetes is tougher than anything I do. My parents always say they're proud of me. Mom and Dad, I'm proud of you.
You too can be a champion to someone with diabetes. Call 1-800-860-8747. A message from the Wisconsin Division of Health.
Boy, to step up to the mic on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic 92.1. Online at themic921.com.
Good Monday evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America. How you doing? Did you have a good weekend? Huh? Did you miss Justice Sunday? Busy worshiping Satan and forget to set the TiVo? Huh? Well, we've got the highlights for you from Focus on the Freaks. You've got to hear James Dobson coming up here in a few minutes. I swear to God he was drunk on sacramental wine or something. James Dobson, this alleged child psychologist who, his attacks were just so over the top. This is an ignorant man, as well as being mega evil. This guy is really ignorant, doesn't understand how things work. His ramblings about the evil Supreme Court, and then we have Bill the Cat Killer Frist's attacks on Harry Reid and lies about the nuclear option, and it's astonishing. And to think that this was broadcast into 1,000+ churches? If there is a God, and I admit I could be wrong, you know, I'm comfortable with my non-belief in all this nonsense, but if there is a God, he or she is probably so pissed off right now that he or she is greasing up the thunderbolts to start hurling at these people. My God, the arrogance. The arrogance. But we'll get to all that later. Not too much later. Stick around. But the sound we have, I was listening to some of the sound Kathy's put together of Dobson and Frist. It's like listening to, seriously, like listening to something, except it's in English, that Osama bin Laden would say. Or some crazed mullah, Islamic mullah, or some crazed Orthodox rabbi who wants to go kill more Palestinians. It's insane. It's just insane. It's unbelievable. Well, you can decide that yourself. That's just a matter of opinion. have you heard about this? The genetic modified, the GM, genetic modified food industry is sticking a human gene into rice. Have you heard about this? Where's this from? This is from the Independent of the UK in the Science and Technology section from yesterday. Scientists have begun putting genes from human beings into food crops. Yeah. Now, people who think this is a little bit weird, isn't this anti-God? I mean, isn't there something about this for the religious fundamentalists? Isn't it, or if you're not a fundamentalist, if you just believe in the talking snake and the flood and that theory of creation, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth, on and on and on and on. And so what? We're going to modify? We're going to modify? I know I don't talk about this genetic food industry nonsense too much because it just makes me insane. I don't know how to talk about it. But it just occurred to me, well, you know, why isn't Dobson instead of going after a right-wing Supreme Court, why isn't he going after the genetic modified food industry? Go after these people. Now they're putting human genes. Environmentalists say no one will want to eat this food because it will smack of cannibalism. Oh, but supporters say this presents no ethical problems, putting human genes in, and it could bring about environmental benefits. Really? Now, in the first modification of this kind, listen to this. Japanese researchers have inserted a gene from the human liver into rice to enable the rice to digest pesticides and industrial chemicals. Oh, my God. The gene makes an enzyme, codenamed CPY2B6, which is particularly good at breaking down harmful chemicals in the body. Okay. Present GM crops, it says here, modify with genes from bacteria to make them tolerant herbicides so that they are not harmed when fields are sprayed to kill weeds. But most of them are only able to deal with a single herbicide. Blah, 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 blah. So now they've come up, well, I know, let's add a gene from the human liver. Oh, God. Scientists who support this say that the gene could also help beat pollution. They say, who is this? Richard somebody of Purdue University in Indiana has worked with a similar gene from rabbits, says that plants modified with this liver gene could clean up toxins from contaminated land. They might even destroy them so effectively that crops grown on the polluted soil could be fit to eat. But he and other scientists cautioned that if the gene were to escape to wild relatives of the rice, it could create vicious superweeds. Oh, my God. No, I'm not making this up. I swear to God. Vicious superweeds. You go to bed at night, right? And all of a sudden you hear this thud, thud, thud. You look out your window and it's a 40-foot-tall dandelion with teeth and a liver. It's going to rip your ass to pieces. Why? Because these freaks put a liver gene into rice, and it got out. This, now I understand. Feed me, feed me, feed me. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me. You thought that was just a play, didn't you, huh? When did Little Shop come out? 40 years ago? Remember that? Huh? Here it is. Here it is. Oh, my God. Sue Mayer, who's director of Gene Watch in the UK, said the other day, quote, I don't think that anyone will want to buy this rice. No kidding, Sue. She says people have already expressed disgust about using human genes and already feel that their concerns are being ignored by the biotech industry. Yeah. Good God.
Feed me, Seymour!
A liver gene, a human liver gene into rice. Oh, boy, sign me up for that. Speaking of the UK, the last truly elected president of the United States, Bill Clinton, was at a rally for Prime Minister Tony Blair's Labour Party. And, you know, they have an election coming up, when is it, first part of May? Clinton was urging people to turn out and vote in force for the Labour Party, Tony Blair's Labour Party, another war-making, disgusting party of people who try to present themselves as liberals or progressives and are not. All right? Let's just be clear. They're not. But that's not the story. The story is this. There's Clinton touting Tony Blair's party. Now, Tony Blair and Clinton were two peas in a pod until George W. Bush stole his first election. I think it was the first election. And Tony Blair came over, and they stayed where they stayed, at Camp David. And the next morning, they both got up and came out rubbing their eyes and yawning and stretching and talking about how they both use the same toothpaste. And I swear to God, I remember that scene. I thought, oh, my God, we have a gay president, a gay prime minister. That's in the U.K. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, gee, who would have thought? Hi. Hi, everybody. We both use Colgate. Oh my God! And we have a special relationship now, especially now. And did you see? Did you see the pictures of Bush today, holding the king? Is it the king? Is it Saudi king or whoever it is? It looks like a dyspeptic old bastard who would just as soon devour Jews and Christians as do anything, you know. But there he is. There's Bush's buddy. They're holding hands and kissing. And I'm like, wow! I can't believe this. And they get upset when gay folk want to have a union. Legal union, not marriage, not even marriage, civil union. And here's Bush sucking up on this old Arab's face. I don't have anything against Arabs. No, don't write me. Don't email me. Okay. I could have said this old Jew or this old Christian or this old Abyssinian, but I said old Arab. That's what he is. But there they are, sucking each other's face and holding hands. And I'm sitting here going, and they don't want gay folk to have civil unions? Why? Why? Oh, well, that's a different story. Back in a moment.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Imagine a natural diet ingredient that kills your appetite and helps attack obesity. Imagine a rare herb that simply tells your brain you're full. Imagine you can try it risk-free with a 100% money-back guarantee. No need to imagine, it's true. H57 Hoodia is finally available in America in its purest form. The Bushmen of Africa have been harvesting Hoodia for thousands of years to curb hunger, and all you have to do is take two pills before each meal to help reduce your hunger. H57 South African Hoodia will make you less hungry to help you lose more weight than you ever imagined. Don't be fooled by overpriced imitators. Only H57 Hoodia has the pure Hoodia from South Africa that's been proven to work. The amazing results have been featured on 60 Minutes, CBS News, the BBC, and in newspapers around the world. Don't miss out. Call now for your risk-free supply of H57 South African Hoodia. 1-800-227-0361. That's toll-free. 1-800-227-0361. Unconditional money-back guarantee. 1-800-227-0361. Or visit myh57.com.
The Alfred Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
The righties can't take it upon themselves to go to Walter Reed Hospital and to see these amputees. They'll go over there and then they'll come out, oh, just a great attitude by all of our troops. They can't wait to get back. The devil's in the details when it comes to the true full benefits that we promise them. The Republicans are no-shows.
Straight Talk is progressive talk. Ed Schultz, weekdays at 2 on the Mike 92.1.
How are you doing in this fiscally irresponsible Republican era? Who do you got there, Chris?
Yeah, Mark, this is a little weird. We have you on line one.
Hello?
Hey, buddy, what's up?
Dude, I'm calling from 50 years in the future.
That's possible? Well, cool.
I knew you wouldn't be freaked out about this, man. I mean, you're a visionary.
Well, hey, thanks, man. I never get that. So tell me, how did this happen?
Well, look, time travel, it's hard to explain, so let me simplify it. You know how you get 5 bars on your cell phone? Well, this is the 6th bar, and that's actually all I can tell you without messing up the time-space continuum thing.
All right, well, I'm good with that. That's cool. What's going on, man?
All right, well, this is weird. You know how they said the price of gasoline would go up a penny a day for, like, forever?
Yeah.
It did. Straight on through the fuel riots of 2020, and now a gallon of gas costs about $182.
I knew it. God, that's ridiculous.
Well, not really. Not really, if you think about it. Movie tickets are around $300, but you got to factor in everyone makes about $500K a year now.
Wow. Do we?
We'll talk about that off air. But the gas thing, people give it to each other as gifts, man. Married couples register at Texaco. People leave their gas tanks to their grandkids in their wills. It's like diamonds used to be before we learned how to make them out of meat.
What?
Never mind. The point is, gas is very valuable.
So, hey, Future Mark. Hey, buddy, you're breaking up here. What, they haven't fixed cell phone reception yet?
Since the comet hit, the planet slips off its axis every couple of hours. So there's a big shift. Some tidal waves and stuff. Everything grabs onto something. A couple of species drop out. You get used to it. All right, see? There. It stopped.
All right, so, okay, so now the important stuff. What do I look like 50 years from now?
Well, the good news is the stretch pants are very slimming. I'm just busting your hump, man. Look, we look the same, buddy. Everyone looks great in the future. I had a date with a 73-year-old last night. Smoking hot. Chicks not aging really opens up the whole playing field.
I'm not married anymore.
Oh, yeah, you're married, but you're not dead, buddy. Don't worry, man. After the whole AIDS thing got cured, the whole monogamy thing was like, you know, what's the point? Hey, you know, when scientists disproved the Bible, all that went out the window. Well, listen, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. That was a weird experience.
You know, you really haven't changed much in 50 years. That's all I can say.
This is Madison's Progressive Talk, the mic, 92.1.
You know, Vladimir Putin and I have got a good personal relationship. This is a vital and important relationship, and the relationship's an important relationship, and I would call the relationship a good relationship.
The city, got to get away.
Yeah, okay.
All is bust-
so, Artist in the Attic, Jenny, just going back a page, okay, hit your back button. We're talking about the modified food stuff, and Jenny writes, yeah, I read a sci-fi story once, and there were people against modified food because the idea was when Jesus came back and he wouldn't know what to rapture because anything with the human gene in it was technically human, and so suddenly the second coming was very, very confusing. You see heads of lettuce flying up to heaven, right? Clumps of rice. Zoom! Clinton in the UK. So Clinton is endorsing Blair. Clinton and Blair were a lot alike. They moved way to the right within in this country, the Democratic Party, and in the UK, the Labour Party, and fooled a lot of people into thinking they were liberal. Of course, according to if you look at how the conservatives in both, I can't speak for the UK, but over here the conservatives have become Nazis. So it, yeah, I guess Clinton was a liberal if it's based on that. So anyway, Clinton said he appeared on a giant screen at a Labour Party meeting in London. What is that? You know, let me digress. What is that? Wasn't Frist on a giant screen and Bush is on a, Clinton's on a giant screen? Everybody gets on giant screens. That's just too big brothery for me. That's just too Wizard of Ozzy for me. You know what I'm saying? But there he was on a giant screen, and Clinton warned that when a country has, quote, a progressive government in power, our people get a little disillusioned. They don't like this policy or that policy. They sometimes fall into the trap of thinking it doesn't matter and there are no consequences. But if you believe that, Clinton said, look at the difference in the United States between now and 4 years ago. In reply, Blair said that Clinton was a fantastic friend and supporter. And then back to the White House here, Scott McClellan was asked whether Bush wanted Blair to win on May 5th. And McClellan, all right, sit down for this. You got to sit down for this. McClellan had said earlier this month that the issue of the election in the UK would be, quote, decided by the people of the United Kingdom because, quote, we don't tend to get involved in internal political matters, end quote. This is what McClellan's... Well, let's see, Scott, Venezuela, Iraq, Iran, Israel, Ukraine, Canada, Mexico. Where do we not get involved in internal politics? I'll tell you the problem with McClellan. He's had too many late nights, too many glasses of wine with Jeff Guckert, what's Guckert's first name? Me love you long time, Gannon. But what's Guckert's first name? James Guckert. That's right. James Guckert and Scott McClellan. Did you see this? Where is it? Oh my God, it's a letter that has been written by Representative John Conyers. Listen to this. Dear Mr. McClellan, we write to ask you to identify who in your office or in the White House generally gave Mr. James Guckert, also known as Jeff Gannon, virtually unfettered access to the White House. In reviewing the response to our Freedom of Information Act to the Department of Homeland Security, several of our specific concerns were validated. While your office and the White House have claimed Gannon was treated as just another reporter, the records we have obtained affirm that Gannon was granted access to the White House, which appears to be unusual for any reporter, out of concern not only for security, but also avoiding White House dissemination of propaganda. We request an explanation to the following. One, the Department of Homeland Security's records indicate that Mr. Gannon entered the White House complex 196 times in the past 2 years. He attended 155 of the 196 press conferences held at the White House in the two-year period. This is disconcerting, considering that your office and Mr. Gannon have maintained that his access was sporadic. Two, the records show that Mr. Gannon was allowed access to the White House 38 times when no public press events occurred. He also spent hours in the White House both before and after press events took place. With whom did he meet on those occasions, and what was the subject matter of those meetings? Three, on 13 occasions, there's a record where he checked in, but is never registered as having checked out. How do you explain this? Well, it goes on. I can explain it for you. Scott McClellan and James Guckert Gannon are having an affair. How easy is that? They're boinking each other. You know it. I know it. Come on. Let's get it out here in Radio Land. Let's take it away from Drudge. Let's get it off page six in the Post. Let's just put it out. Jeff Gannon, or Guckert, or whatever the hell his name is, and Scott McClellan are having a hot affair. Okay? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Need some wood?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. Do you want cheap, high-speed internet access provided by your city? There's just one thing in your way. Telecommunications companies. Corporations like Comcast are fighting to stop cities and towns from offering low-cost, high-speed internet directly to their residents. Why? They're afraid of competition. Mother Jones reports from Tri-Cities, Illinois, where not one company offered reliable high-speed internet access to homes. So citizens asked the city to install high-speed internet for everyone. Comcast and SBC got worried. The companies fought back with a $300,000 campaign, and the plan was defeated. Now corporations like Comcast are lobbying state legislatures to stop cities from providing high-speed internet. 14 cities have already passed restrictions. It seems making a buck for these corporations has become more important than citizens' access to information on the internet. In a democracy built on an informed citizenry, this really should worry us all. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn 2 or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about 1 in 3 people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-800-79-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think Nexium, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if Nexium is right for you.
Big
Big Ed has some big ideas on the Mike 92.1.
Senator Deb Stabenow from Michigan on the line with us. Senator, good to have you on board.
Well, good afternoon, Ed.
Good to have you on, Deb. How do you think the American people are going to respond to the, quote, nuclear option? The latest survey out there shows a number of Americans don't even know what that is.
Well, you know, it's tough, Ed. I think it all sounds like inside baseball, you know, who cares about the rules of the Senate. But what it really means is whether or not minority voices are going to be heard, whether or not one person on behalf of their state, you know, whether or not I have the chance to stand up and talk as long as my legs will hold or my voice will hold about what's happening to manufacturing in this country and the need for a fair trade policy so we're not losing jobs, or whether somebody can stand up and talk about health care, or whether or not we can get, you know, we can require there be 60 votes on a judge that 41 people or more believe simply is out of touch and out of the mainstream and doesn't warrant a lifetime appointment to the bench.
Well, it's all about the judges. I've said that for a long time now, but now they're talking about, well, we'll just change the rules for this one vote on judges, and we won't do this, the filibuster rule, nuclear option for everything else that's up there. Well, what do you think of that?
Well, you know, Ed, I don't believe that it will be just for judges, because think about it. I mean, if they're successful in breaking the rules to change the rules, which is what this is, they've got to break the Senate rules to change the rules permanently for our country, to eliminate the checks and balances, why would they just do it for judges? I mean, they want to privatize Social Security, unravel Social Security. Why wouldn't there be pressure down the road to do that? They want to make huge cuts in Medicaid for our low-income seniors and nursing homes and for families and children. You know, why wouldn't they do it for that? Why wouldn't they do it when we're talking about jobs?
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
So a lot of people are relying on, you know, getting their parents' money or having money passed to them or inheriting money from a relative just to get by.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's sad to have to sit around and wonder about your future and go, well, maybe if my mom kicks soon, you know, I'll be all right.
Scary.
Yeah, if my dad kicks, I'll be okay.
Morning's Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
On August 16, the INS arrested Zacharias Moussaoui, a flight school student who seemed to have little interest in learning to take off or land a plane. The arresting agent wrote that Moussaoui seemed like, quote, the type of person who could fly something into the World Trade Center. Trying to pique the interest of FBI headquarters in Washington, a Minneapolis FBI agent wrote that a 747 loaded with fuel could be used as a weapon. If this information had been shared and analyzed, for example, by a newly founded Homeland Security agency, it might have sparked memories of the Clinton-thwarted 1996 Al-Qaeda plot to hijack an American commercial plane and crash it into CIA headquarters. On August 26, still on the ranch, Bush discussed with reporters the difference between his two dogs. Spot's a good runner. You know, Barney, terriers are bred to go into holes and pull out varmint. And Spotty chases birds. Spotty's a great water dog. I'll go fly fishing this afternoon on my lake. And you know something? He did just that. Among those left to swelter in the D.C. heat that August was one Thomas J. Pickard. No fly fishing for him.
Talk. The Mike. 92.1.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Six before the hour. If it's not Simple Scotty who's having an affair with James Guckert, it must be Karl Rove. Somebody in the White House is inviting this guy over for sleepovers. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I think they ought to get this out so that the religious right can have something else to froth at the mouth about, you know, when they find out that the highest levels of the Bush administration is actually gay, and very actively gay, obviously. Then maybe it'll calm them down. Maybe the religious right will say, well, if Karl Rove is doing it, maybe they'll try it. Huh? Can you see Dr. Dobson calling up the president of the Southern Baptist Convention and saying, listen, what do you think? Oh, my God. Wouldn't that, huh? They could call, what's his name down there in Mississippi, the new governor who used to head the RNC? Call him up. Dobson and Falwell. Now, there's a pairing. What do you think, Jerry? Well, I don't know, James. Well, you want to try? How much wine you got? My God, if this is true, if it is true, and I like this line from, you know, a lot of people are sitting around listening to the program tonight, they're going, Jesus, Malloy has really lost it. You know, we've got all these terribly important issues to talk about, and he's screaming about this Gannon guy and Rove and Scott McClellan and the queer thing. Oh, my God. Let's switch over to something else. What's on TV tonight, Sarah? Well, go away then. Yeah, I frankly don't give a damn. But here's the letter I like from this, John Conyers, and it's also signed by Louise Slaughter, who's a ranking member of the House Rules Committee, and Conyers, ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee. This line. These records, the ones I shared with you, all these times when Gannon Guckert entered the White House and never came out. Oh, my God. Conyers writes, these records appear to confirm our concern that Gannon was treated in a manner that deviated from standard White House procedure for determining who receives press credentials and to what degree members of the press and public are granted access to the White House complex. That's a very long sentence. I got stopped on the word deviated. Gannon was treated in a manner that deviated from, well, you know, that. It's unbelievable. And again, I'm all for it. Look, I believe in love. I don't care what kind of love it is. Love is on a continuum anyway. You know, you start here, you go there. It's a sliding scale thing. Anybody knows that has the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk. You're not gay, you're not straight. You're just a human being. That's all.
Oh, he's lost it now, Sarah. He's saying there's no such thing as queers.
There isn't! It's a sliding scale! Nobody wants to admit that. So can you imagine Dobson and Frist? Okay. Let's get back to seriousness here. State Department report shows an increase in terrorism incidents around the world in 2004. The report was altered by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. She didn't like it. It's a country-by-country report called Patterns of Global Terrorism. It's come out every year since 1986. It's accompanied by statistical tables and all sorts of hard numerical reports and numbers and this and that. This year's edition showed a big increase from 2003 to 2004. 172 significant terrorist attacks in 2003, 655 in 2004. Much of the increase in Iraq.
Oh, but wait a second. The Pentagon's been telling us that the insurgency there is going away.
Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, ordered the report to be withdrawn and a new one issued, minus the statistics. This according to the Guardian of London, of the UK. A Democratic Congressman, Henry Waxman, has written an angry letter about the change to the State Department's Inspector General. arguing that Condoleezza Rice's decision, quote, denies the public access to important information about the incidents of terrorism, end quote. Well, Congressman Waxman, this corrupt, filthy, degenerate, and I'm speaking politically, not sexually, this corrupt, degenerate, filthy administration denies and alters everything. Come on, Henry. Well, Henry knows this. Henry knows this. Condoleezza Rice's spokesman denied the charge was politically inspired. Or the change, denied the change was, nobody said it was politically inspired, Richard Boucher. You know, you've seen this guy before, who looks like he really, really, really needs a good dose of Metamucil. Several good doses, and just clear everything out. You know what I'm talking about. Richard Boucher, that guy with the big bags under his eyes, comes out to the State Department and makes these pronouncements, and you know, watch him next time. His eyes dart from left to right, and you know he's looking for the exit, see where the John is. I swear to God, these people are just impacted. They're impacted. They would all feel much better with a high colonic and followed up with day after day after day after day of Metamucil. It'll work! But Boucher denied that the change was politically inspired and said Ms. Rice had decided the statistics would be better handled by the National Counterterrorism Center, whose work is all classified. You see how that works? See how that works? So on Bush's watch, incidences of terrorism, significant terrorist attacks, quintupled in 1 year. But the numbers are too scary. So, hide the numbers. And remember last Friday when the United States Senate approved overwhelmingly? What was the vote? I forget what the vote was. But it was overwhelming. The $81 billion for Bush's little pocket wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, that wars that are killing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of American people, those two little pocket wars, $81 billion, which now pushes the total cost of combat and reconstruction past $300 billion that's come out of our pockets in this country. Remember another filthy, rotten, right-wing lie that was told to you and me? Oh, Iraq's oil will pay for it. It's not going to cost us any. $300 billion so far, and the way this thing is projected out, it's going to cost $1 trillion. It's going to cost more than World War II. Do you understand that? And Tom DeLay is so busted. Remember what this lion snake said that... all these trips he's been making, that the expenses were paid by nonprofit organizations and that all the financial arrangements for all these trips were proper. Well, you know, credit card receipts, this is in the Washington Post. The airfare to London and Scotland in 2000 for Tom DeLay, who was then House Majority Whip, was charged to an American Express card issued to, here he is again, Jack Abramoff, whatever that, Jack, careful how you say his name, Malloy, Jack Abramoff, a Washington lobbyist at the center of a criminal, a federal criminal and tax probe. There it is, there's the record. DeLay's expenses during the same trip for food, phone calls, and other items at the golf course in Scotland were billed to a different credit card also used on the trip by a second registered Washington lobbyist, Edwin Buckham. Careful how you say his name, too. Now, House rules bar lawmakers, like DeLay's a lawmaker, from accepting travel or any kind of expenses from registered lobbyists. DeLay has said his expenses were paid by a nonprofit organization. He is a liar. He is a filthy right-wing neo-Nazi liar. Now, what's going to happen? Huh? What's going to happen? Here's the proof. Here's the hard copy. Here's the proof. The man is a filthy liar who supports the idea of child sex rings and exploited slave labor. So what's going to happen? Huh? What's going to happen? I'm waiting. Any of you right-wing so-called Christians out there who got together for this this little hate fest, this little which was so reminiscent of the 2 minutes hate in 1984, I realized it was longer than 2 minutes. It's a wonder you didn't have a picture of Goldstein up on your screens and in all of these houses of ill repute that you people call churches. What are you going to do about this, huh? Here is real criminal activity. This is stuff that would really piss off God and probably make Jesus a little bit upset, too. What are you going to do about this? This is your boy, Delay. I know what you're going to do. Nothing. Because long as Delay is in power, he can rip off anybody he wants to. As long as Guckert's floating around, he can slip in the White House and do anyone he wants to. But at least the queers won't be able to get married, right? Right.
That's stacked, and Rumsfeld wants his fatty smack. Mr. Cheney, he gets quite a thrill if when you pop his cork, you shout, oil spill. We need more sex in the White House. More sex in the White House.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Bad breath stinks. Nobody wants to have it, and nobody wants to smell it. It's an embarrassing clinical condition that can dramatically ruin the quality of your life. I'm Dr. Harold Katz, founder of the California Breath Clinics. I've smelled more bad breath than any other doctor on this planet. I've helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you to conquer bad breath, sour, bitter taste, and dry mouth with my TheraBreath products. My book, The Bad Breath Bible, is the number one reference on this misdiagnosed disorder. Whether you're worried about occasional bad breath from garlic and onions, or if you have chronic halitosis due to diabetes, tonsils, or alcohol-based mouthwash, The Bad Breath Bible has a solution for you. The truth is you can't smell your own breath, so you never know if you're offending someone. That's why everyone needs to read it.
Call right now for your free copy of The Bad Breath Bible while supplies last. You will also receive a free 2-week trial of TheraBreath, an amazing line of products that will completely eliminate bad breath. Call 1-800-590-9870. That's 1-800-590-9870. 1-800-590-9870.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Guess the quote. Here we go. I think it's a nutty idea to fool around with the Social Security system and run the risk of hurting the people who've been saving all their lives. It may be a new idea, but it's a dumb one.
Rob Reiner.
George H.W. Bush.
Wow.
Yeah, he actually said that in a response to a question from fellow presidential candidate Pete DuPont during a presidential debate. George H.W. didn't think that was such a good idea.
Stephanie Miller.
Oops.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
This is my dream diary from last night because I got to bring it into my therapist this week. I'm listening to my iPod while I'm standing online at the multiplex. I'm going to go see Hotel Rwanda because I hear it's fantastic. Just then I hear a familiar voice. Mark. It's the iPod. Damn! Why don't you go see Sahara with Matthew McConaughey, Steve Zahn, and Penelope Cruz? The Portland Oregonian says it's surprisingly entertaining. Tune out. I said, because it looks like such a giant piece of crap, that's why. Then how about Beauty Shop with Queen Latifah and Alicia Silverstone? Variety called it a sunny and sassy comedy. I say, no! No! What's the matter, Mark? Don't you like black people? I say, hey, wait, that's not it! It just looks lame, okay? And I really want to see Hotel Rwanda. Is that not black enough for you? Mark, if you don't go see popular movies, you won't be able to talk to your coworkers about them. Without shared pop culture experiences, you'll be alone. Go see Guess Who with Ashton Kutcher. I say, no, I'm not gonna see Sahara. I'm not going to see Beauty Shop. And I'm not going to see anything with Ashton Kutcher, ever. I'm here to see Hotel Rwanda, all right? Let it go. The iPod says, Mark, no one's impressed by your alternative tastes. You're just a misfit who can't relate to other people. And you're not getting any younger. I get up to the booth, and the ticket kid says, which movie? Just then, a jolt of electricity starts shooting into my brain. And I'm like, ow! Oh, God! It's excruciating! You know, it's just killing me. And I finally say, all right, Sahara. I want to see Sahara. And give me tickets for the Ashton Kutcher movie later. And the Charlotte Observer says, this Kutcher's most relaxed and sensitive work on film. The electricity stops and the iPod says, good, Mark. Now order the Super Combo. That's three jumbo drinks, a garbage bag full of buttered corn, and your choice of delicious candy. Tune out. I woke up, and my bed was filled with gummy worms. You see what I'm saying, man? How's that grab you?
Take this cough test. Name this cough. That's a flu and cold cough. That's a COPD cough or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Any persistent cough should be checked by your doctor. Don't take chances. Get answers. Visit the American Lung Association online at lungusa.org. The American Lung Association, improving life one breath at a time.
For too long, this is Ed Schultz. Tune in weekdays at 2 on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic 92.1.
Hey, truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 10 past the hour. All right, right after this break that's coming up, we're going to play the sound for you from this hate fest at these 1,100 houses of ill repute that occurred Sunday night. God, what a desecration of holy places, huh? Ken Salazar, who I think is kind of a jerk, but, you know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the enemy of my friend is also my enemy. So, what? So, in that spirit, we mentioned last week that Ken Salazar, a Democrat from Colorado, who is a kind of a typical cowardly Democrat, I don't care what standards you use, and I'm talking politically, I don't know what he's like in his private life, maybe he's just a real macho man, okay? Don't know, don't care. Ken Salazar means nothing to me except for the fact that he's a senator and he has a D after his name. And like most senators, not all, with D's after their names, he acts cowardly. Now, having said all that, Salazar has been in a spitting contest with Focus on the Family that happens to be in his state, Dobson's neo-Nazi organization. Dobson's group continues to attack Salazar, and the rhetoric from these fake, phony Christians, these Christ murderers, like Focus on the Family, is getting even hotter and hotter. Salazar is now accusing these thugs of trying to turn the United States into a theocracy. That's what we talked about last week. Well, anybody, hello, Ken, no kidding. Gee, is that the truth? You ought to listen to talk radio a little bit, Ken. You ought to listen to Air America. You ought to listen to those of us who are now on Air America, who used to be scattered around the country, who've been talking about this for 6, 7, 8 years. But never mind. It finally dawned on Salazar. Okay, fair enough. He said, I think the way Focus on the Family and the conservative right wing is attempting to take the country will threaten the basic cornerstone of our freedom. Yes, it will. It is. Now, over the weekend, Dobson supporters decided that the way to respond to Senator Ken Salazar's criticisms was to go after his wife's Dairy Queen store. Jesus, these people are sick! That's right! Ken's wife has a Dairy Queen! Ah! In Westminster, Colorado. And on Sunday, 24 of these drones, these robots, these so-called Christians gathered in front of the Dairy Queen. They had signs. Messages like, Salazar is anti-Christian. Salazar mocks God. Salazar is... Wouldn't you just love to get a banana split and just mush it right into their faces? How wouldn't you? They attack his wife's Dairy Queen. My God! One of the people there was somebody who identified himself as a reverend, Bob Enyart. And he said, you know... I stand against the things that Salazar advocates because, you know, the senator openly supports immorality. At a Dairy Queen? Immorality at a Dairy... What? How do you do that? Oh, the banana? No. Can't you just feel the Christian love coming from these Nazis, huh? These brown shirts. What is with these people? What is with these people? Anyway, Senator Salazar was not amused. According to what I have here, he told reporters, quote, "It's outrageous to target my wife's Dairy Queen." They can protest me whenever they want. These tactics are outrageous and un-American and simply won't work, end quote. They go after the Dairy Queen. Salazar is anti-Christian. Man! Oh, don't you just... Calm down. I hate it. I really, really hate it. These people are supposed to be talking about the love of Jesus? Is that what these people are about? Huh? Okay. What else? Oh, as kind of a preface to what we're going to play for, as soon as we come back from the next break, the sound bites that we have from this hate fest that occurred in these thousand houses of ill repute over Sunday night, is a quote from Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, which emphasizes his fanatical dedication to right-wing nonsense, you know, to originalness in the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, I hear the music, so we'll do this as soon as we come back, and then on to the sound bites. And I'm telling you, have your seatbelt on, because you're going to hear a drunk James Dobson exhorting the droids to rise up and kill everything that's not got a cross on it. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
Finally, good news out of the U.S. Senate. It looks like enough Republicans are going sour on John Bolton to sink his nomination to be U.N. ambassador. Last week, Republican Senator George Voinovich, out of the blue, blocked what was expected to be a favorable committee vote for Bolton. Now, I'm all for whatever works, but I have qualms about a confirmation process that goes haywire because the nominee was a lousy and arrogant boss. True, Bolton did lean on analysts when they dared to inconvenience him with facts, but it seems his abusive management style was more the point for wavering Republicans. Hey, this guy is a UN basher who essentially does not believe in international law. Giving him the UN job would be absurd. I'm glad he's in trouble, but I wish that were so because his appointment is absolutely ridiculous. Not because he may be a jerk. For more from The Nation, go to thenation.com. I'm David Korn, Washington editor of The Nation, for Air America Radio.
I love Street next Wednesday night.
What America needs is affordable health insurance.
Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everybody's mind right now. And if you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get the affordable health insurance coverage you're looking for. The Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 800-290-2064. That's 800-290-2064. They specialize in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds and those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work to protect our families with the health insurance we need. And if you have a COBRA plan that's about to expire, we can help you too. So call us right now. 800-290-2064. That's 800-290-2064. Not available in all states.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Vice President Dick Cheney wanted to keep a relatively low profile in President Bush's second term, but that apparently not possible. He has been reanimated.
My non-flamboyant, straightforward style tests well with older voters. Listen up, you old farts. It's our way or the highway. You either play along or we're going to replace your medications with rat poison and kick your walkers out from under you.
It's calming. He's very soothing.
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
Right now, one of the hardest things is we see their friends, and we see how much their friends have grown and changed and how big they've gotten, and we cannot see how much Brandy Taylor and Sarah Francis have grown and changed and just going through those milestone years.
Brandy Taylor and Sarah Wiggins were killed by a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
My name is Matt Cohn from Madison, Wisconsin, and I'm on the mic. The mic.
The Mic 92.1, WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio News. I'm Paul Chambers. That commuter train crash in Japan has now claimed 73 lives with more than 440 injured. Atika Schubert reports investigators are looking into the cause.
The automatic braking system there, it's one of the oldest in Japan. It is not designed to stop a train if the train is moving too fast. Another possibility is that there could have been something obstructing the path of the train, something on the tracks that caused it to derail, especially if it was traveling at a much higher speed than normal.
It's Japan's deadliest rail accident in more than 40 years. After 2 days of searching, investigators have found the bodies of two missing children in Georgia. Father Dennis Payne says his wife realized something was wrong when the kids didn't answer.
She kept calling their names and she heard no noise, so that's when she just jumped up and went in the living room. When she did, she went around the corner, and when she came around the corner, she seen the front door is wide open.
State investigators say the bodies of the toddlers were found in a pond just a few hundred yards from their rural Georgia home. Saudi Arabia says it will increase oil production by over 30% by 2009. National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says Monday's meeting between President Bush and Crown Prince Abdullah could send production up and prices down.
We would hope that and other factors would result in positive news in terms of the price fronts, but as you know, these markets are complicated business.
The current perception in financial markets, there's not enough supply, and that's been keeping gas prices high. A man law enforcement authorities label one of the world's top heroin traffickers has been indicted in a massive narcotics conspiracy. Here's Deborah Farrick.
Drug agents say that this is definitely one of the biggest arrests they've ever had. The question is, what was he doing in the United States, and why did he think that he could come in without anyone noticing?
The man made his initial appearance Monday in Manhattan Federal Court. This is CNN Radio News.
So you've got frequent heartburn. Your wife says,
loosen your belt, sweetheart.
Your buddy says, sleep sitting up. Well, maybe it's time to get your advice from more credible sources. Because now, doctors and pharmacists are recommending Prilosec OTC more than any other OTC acid reducer. It's their number one choice. One pill a day for 24 hours of zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for treating frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief, based on share of recommendations.
Fact. Omega-3s are important for a healthy heart, mind, and joints. Fact. The fish that are the richest source of omega-3s are often contaminated with mercury and other toxins. Fact. TriOmega removes toxins with an advanced process no ordinary omega-3 supplement can match. Fact. If you want to be sure it's pure, get TriOmega. In fact, if it doesn't say TriOmega, throw it back.
California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger gets most of what he wants in reorganizing the state's troubled prison system. Our Jim Roop has more.
The governor wants to pin control and responsibility of both the Adult Department of Corrections and Youth Authority on his hand-picked corrections chief. Mr. Schwarzenegger says the state's prison system has been plagued by out-of-control costs, recidivism rate that exceeds those of other states, and employee disciplinary problems, among other things.
And the more we looked into the problems, the more we realized that the first step that we have to take is to really reorganize our agency.
Part of the revamping includes changing the correctional culture, eliminating the code of silence, and instilling strong ethical behavior. Also, the qualified recruits are hired and properly trained. Jim Roop, CNN Radio, Los Angeles.
One of Michael Jackson's lawyers is calling it quits. Brian Oxman is leaving the case. His departure was announced by lead attorney Thomas Messero. The pop singer is accused of molesting a young cancer victim. This is news from CNN Radio. Government safety officials warn motorists to check their tire pressure.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says more than a fourth of vehicles on the road have at least one tire that's too low. Low tire pressure accounts for over 650 traffic deaths each year. Atlanta mechanic Eddie Hancock says in this hurry-up world, most people are in and out of self-service gas stations, and that's the start of trouble.
People are in a hurry. They get their gas and they go. And they don't think about their tire pressure.
The government recently adopted a new regulation for cars to have a dashboard warning system to tell drivers when they have a tire that is too low. Ed McCarthy, CNN Radio, Atlanta.
Actor-comedian George Lopez has a new kidney. His wife was the organ donor. A statement from his publicist says both husband and wife are resting comfortably and are expected to make a full recovery. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Mornings at Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
As Bill Clinton says, when people vote, Democrats win. Or
well,
when people's votes are
counted. By the way, Clint Curtis, who reported on that whole Tom Feeney episode where he asked for someone to create a program that would steal votes and not leave a trail.
Yeah. Oh, that's
a You know, they kept him. Well, I take a lie detector test, if that's true. He's since taken a lie detector test.
Oh, really?
And passed it.
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
With us today are Sally and her big sister, Marcy.
Hi.
Hello. To share some stuff we've learned.
Kids and sugar, a combustible mix.
Did you know I can run through walls?
No.
Watch this.
Oh, Sally.
Don't worry. I also have amazing healing powers. Moments like these happen every day.
To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Now, before I play for you the sound from these houses of ill repute from Sunday night, this was in a letter to the editor of the New Yorker on the April 25th issue. And let me just quote some of this about Scalia. And keep in mind, this is the Supreme Court that these phony right-wing Christians, these neo-Nazis, these brown shirts are going after. You know, it's Scalia's court. The writer references an article on Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia emphasizing his fanatical dedication to intellectual consistency and judicial process. The extremes, the writer says, to which this can lead are evident in an obiter dictum that he delivered in a case, Herrera versus Collins, a 1993 case brought by a man who claimed that he had been unjustly convicted of murder. Scalia wrote, quote, "There is no basis in text, tradition, or even in contemporary practice for finding in the Constitution a right to demand judicial consideration of newly discovered evidence of innocence brought forward after conviction." Can you believe this? Do you understand? Oh, by the way, Justice Uncle Clarence Thomas concurred. There's nothing in the Constitution that says if you've been convicted of a crime and sentenced to death and evidence turns up that you didn't do it, too bad, die. This is what Scalia and Thomas say. It's astonishing. This is literally what they said. I'm not stretching it. I'm not bending it. I'm not inflating it. That's the kind of United States Supreme Court we have. And these whiny-ass, fake little pansy Christians who are whining and bleating and complaining about liberal judges, why, you morons. Hot off the wires. In private talks with Majority Leader Bill Frist, the Senate's top Democrat, Harry Reid, has indicated a willingness to allow confirmation of at least two of Bush's seven controversial appeals court nominees, but only as a part of a broader compromise requiring Republicans to abandon threats to ban judicial filibusters. Huh? How about that? This is being reported right now by the Associated Press. Cross the wire this evening at about 7:15. Too late for the evening news. But do you understand what's going on here? These right-wingers get out here and make all their threats and all their screaming and all the rhetoric accusing normal human beings of being abnormal, accusing normal members of the Democratic Party who happen to be Christians, accusing them of being Christ unfaithful to their own religion. These are scum. These are scum. And they level these charges, and they have the entire, with the exception of this network, the entire and a few other individuals, the entire talk radio sump hole sewer to back them up. And now Harry Reid is going to cut a deal. And some of you folks wonder why these Democrats in leadership positions turn my stomach. Harry Reid is going to cut a deal with these Nazis? Well, okay, we'll let two of them through. Okay, what two are you going to let through, Harry? Huh? What two are you going to let through? Are you going to let through Priscilla Owen? The Louisville Courier-Journal, in a Sunday editorial, said she's the token white woman with and Texas judge whose eagerness to substitute her own values for the rule of law was too much for even Alberto Gonzalez, who rebuked her when they both served on the same Texas Supreme Court. Okay, how about Janice Rogers Brown? Is that who it's going to be, Harry? The token black woman and California judge who believes that our vibrant nation of free market capitalism, this economy of Walmarts and Pfizers and Enrons, of Googles, Yahoos and Apples, this home of a pitiful $5.15 minimum wage and a staggering 44 million people without health insurance, this land of soaring CEO pay and declining real wages for workers, that this country has actually been crushed by the boot of collectivism ever since what she calls the 1937, quote, triumph of our own socialist revolution, end quote. What? Is she that insane? This Janice Rogers, yes, she is that insane. And then there's Brett Kavanaugh. You're going to let him through, Harry? He's never even tried a case. He was in Ken Starr's impeachment crusade, and it's finally come out that that was retribution for Nixon. How about William Myers? Are you going to let him through, Harry? Who also lacks trial experience, but he's put in plenty of time rabidly fighting against environmental laws and in favor of mining interests. How about William Haynes II, Harry? You're going to let him through? It says here his meager courtroom work is offset by his considerable contribution as the Defense Department's counsel to the shameful abandonment of America's deepest legal principles regarding the treatment and rights of prisoners of war and detainees. Are those some of the people you're going to let through, Harry Reid? You fake, phony Democrat, get out of town! Get out of town, Harry Reid! Go become a Republican! Is this the deal you're going to cut with Bill Frist? And in return, Frist won't launch the nuclear option and take away the right to filibuster. Is that what you're saying, Harry? You're going to do business with these thieves and brigands and highwaymen and liars and cheats and sneaks, these immoral, unethical, non-Christian, although they claim to be, thugs? Isn't that what they wanted all along, Harry? Oh, Lord, don't throw me in that briar patch. I can't stand this. I just can't. Democrats. Democrat leaders. I'm not talking about you. You're a mainstream Democrat, I know. So am I. And you're bleeding just like I am. I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the leadership of the Democratic Party that has turned tail and run. just turn tail and run. Oh, my God, how disgusting. So Harry Reid's going to cut a deal. Now, this is being reported by the Associated Press, citing two sources, both of whom required anonymity. They don't want to go on the record of saying, well, yeah, my name is Joe Blow, and I heard this. But the two people who work closely with both of these people, Senator Reid and Senator Frist. So Reid is going to back down. Reid's going to say, okay, listen, don't kick me anymore. Don't beat me anymore. Please, please, you lovely Christians. You know, I'm just a humble Mormon. Don't beat me anymore. I'll let some of these communists, rat eaters through, you know, whatever. Just don't beat me anymore, okay? I'm just a humble Mormon Democrat. Oh, my God. Well, no surprise here. No surprise at all. All right, we're going to cue these up, and we're going to get ready. Reverend James Dobson, Reverend Dr. James Dobson. Yeah. This guy is a psychologist? Oh, my God. Who would go to this guy? What sort of problem would you... Yeah, if you were suffering some, say, mild depression, have three sessions with this guy, you'd kill yourself. James Dobson. In listening to these sound bites we're going to play for you, I swear the guy sounds like he's just drunk on his ass. But it's we got three or four statements from Dobson and then a couple from Frist, and they're pretty shocking. Oh, by the way, during the break, I didn't know this, but a lot of gay and transgendered and lesbian folk are going to surround Dobson's headquarters for 2 days, beginning on May Day, May 1st. Go to soulforce.org. S-O-U-L, force. Soulforce.org. Check it out. Monty in Denver sent this to me. Soulforce.org. This looks like fun. Jesus, it makes me want to get on a plane and fly out there. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm a reporter, and when a story breaks, I have to do my job, even when I'm congested from my worst allergies. Fortunately, I found Claritin D. Now, I'm Claritin Clear.
25 seconds, Tom.
Claritin D gives me non-drowsy, long-lasting relief from even my worst allergy symptoms, like congestion and sinus pressure. Nothing is stronger or faster than Claritin D. It takes on my worst symptoms and leaves me clear.
5 seconds.
Get tough on your toughest allergy symptoms. Live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Comparisons are among oral OTC allergy products.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. One of the best things about getting an 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum is what you don't get, namely, a cloud of dust in your face every time you turn it on or when you empty it, which means you won't get a house full of bacteria that travels on dust. Call 1-800-989-4200 for free literature or a free 30-day home trial. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL. 1-800-989-4200.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
This country has had a little problem on its intelligence and a little problem on credibility.
Mm-hmm.
Bolton wanted to give a speech at the Heritage Foundation saying that Cuba had a bioterrorism program that it was trying to export.
Huh.
And the thing wrong with that was that it didn't.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
The last time I saw Paul was in the late summer of 2002, about 6 weeks before he died in a plane crash. It was an evening event in the Twin Cities. Paul was in the middle of an intense, dead-even Senate race. He'd been targeted as vulnerable by the National Republican Party, and money was flowing in from around the country for his opponent, a suit named Norm Coleman. Paul was fighting for his political life. The first thing he asked me was, How's your mom? I told Paul I had just visited her. It was tough, I said. I couldn't even have a conversation with her. Paul nodded and said, you know, touch means so much. The next day, I took my mom out into the nursing home garden in her wheelchair. It was a beautiful day. I sat next to her for a couple of hours with my arm around her. I can't tell you whether it meant a thing to her, but it meant a lot to me. So that was Paul. Touch means so much wasn't the kind of thing you'd hear from a Michael Dukakis. I, along with innumerable people, loved Paul Wellstone for what he stood for what he fought for, and for who he was. I loved his wife Sheila, too. I don't think I ever saw Paul without Sheila by his side. Paul died on October 25th, 2002, when his plane went down in northern Minnesota. Sheila, his daughter Marcia, his driver Will McLaughlin, two other close aides, Tom Lapick and Mary McAvoy, and two pilots died with him. 4 days later, C-SPAN, along with almost every Minnesota TV and radio station, carried a hastily put together memorial service for Paul, Sheila, Marcia, Will, Tom, and Mary. I was there. It was a beautiful memorial, sometimes incredibly sad, sometimes funny, sometimes rowdy, and sometimes political. Some people watching on television were offended. Some people were moved. But the right saw an opening. They took moments out of context, lied about the rest, and used it as a political club to attack the Democrats. It won them the Senate in Minnesota and probably in Missouri, which means it gave Republicans control of the Senate.
People who paid for the drug Lupron could get money from a nationwide settlement about the cost, not the safety of Lupron. There are deadlines to act on your rights, so go to LupronClaims.com. That's LupronClaims.com.
Lincoln Show.
Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mic, 92.1.
The man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. This thing about Harry Reid wanting to compromise with Frist and let some of these Nazi judges through. Last week, I think it was last week, one of our regular correspondents, Barry, had sent me an article, from a local paper, and it said Senator Joe Biden was raising the possibility of a deal. The quote was, I think we should compromise and say to them it will let a number of the seven judges go through. Oh, he said it on ABC's This Week. So now Harry Reid, you see what goes on? As though there was some basis upon which to form a compromise. I say it's red, you say it's blue, okay, let's agree it's purple. That's a compromise. I want to install Nazi judges who have no more business being on a bench than Donald Duck, and you don't want them. Oh, okay, well, let's compromise. We'll let two of the seven on. Did you go to soulforce.org during the break? Go check it out, okay? All right, here we go. Dobson. Somebody needs to tell me when James Focus on the Freaks Dobson became some kind of expert in constitutional law. Listen to this.
Obviously, we're talking about unconstitutional, I think, inappropriate use of the filibuster to prevent these honorable men and women from serving on the court. It's not right. It's wrong. And I think this is one of the most significant issues we've ever faced as a nation, because the future of democracy and ordered liberty actually depends on the outcome of this struggle.
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because the issues that we care about and the values that are important to us are now threatened by the court system, and especially the United States Supreme Court.
Oh, my God. The Supreme Court refuses to legislate pro-Christianity? Just Christianity? Kill them. Hang them. Get the guillotine out. Isn't that what he's saying? The Supreme Court... Okay, calm down, Mike. Let's continue. Listen to the hypocrite here accuse the Supreme Court of doing exactly what he and these other Christian nutcases are trying to do, and that is redesign our culture based on their religiously biased views.
There is a majority on the Supreme Court that is, and you'll have to pardon me, but this is the way I see it, they're unelected and unaccountable and arrogant and imperious and determined to redesign the culture according to their own biases and values, and they're out of control. And I think they need to be reined in.
Unelected? The Supreme Court members are unelected? Really? Oh my God, somebody run and tell NBC and ABC and CBS. Somebody run and tell. They're unelected? And unaccountable? And then he says they're determined to redesign the culture according to their own biases and values. No, you freaking idiot. That's what you want to do. And he says they're out of control. Thomas and Scalia and Kennedy and O'Connor and Ginsburg and the rest of them, they're out of control. Somebody run and tell. They're unelected. Oh, Jesus, how did this happen? Oh, the dirty little bastard snuck in and they're not elected. And then applause. And then these brain-dead droids sit there. The man says they're determined to redesign the culture according to their own biases and values. You freaking idiot! Had it not been for the Supreme Courts, since the creation of this country, you and your tacky religion would have been run out of town on a rail. They have done everything they possibly can to allow you people to continue to condemn the rest of us into eternal damnation because we don't agree with you. Kiss my grits!
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you tired of battling your weight without the results you want? Don't give up. Learn the facts. All Natural South African Hoodia is now available with a 100% money-back guarantee exclusively with H57. How does it work? H57 doesn't claim to block, absorb, blast, or reduce fat. It just helps you control your hunger. H57's organically based compound significantly reduces your appetite and your desire for food. And when you don't eat as much, you lose weight. That's a fact. The amazing results of South African Hoodia have been featured on 60 Minutes, Nightline, and the BBC. H H57's hoodie is real. The effects are real. The weight loss is real. With H57, you eat less, not because you're trying to eat less, but because you simply don't desire food. There's no counting carbs, points, or fat grams. Don't be fooled by imitators. Demand real H57 South African hoodie. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your product price is refunded. That's a fact. Call now. 1-800-227-0361. Unconditional money back guarantee. 1-800-227-0361. Or visit myh57.com.
For the best in truth-telling independent news, subscribe to Mother Jones Magazine at readmojo.com. This month, learn how 40 media outlets and nonprofits are saying that global warming doesn't exist after they got $8 million from ExxonMobil. Read about a sperm bank that only took donations from Nobel Prize winners. Plus, catch up on the latest in music, books, politics, and culture. Subscribe today at readmojo.com. Mother Jones brings you hard-hitting investigative reporting at readmojo.com.
In the game of life, what's in your credit report can make all the difference in the world.
The Smith family going for a home loan. The referees are reviewing their credit report.
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and get your credit report instantly online for free.
Upon further review, the loan is approved.
Be prepared for the biggest games of your life. Log on to freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com.
Madison's Progressives are on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
This is John Quinlan, host of Forward Forum, airing this Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. I'm on vacation this week, deep in the heart of the red states, but please join my co-host, Laura Goodconnect, for a fascinating show. There's no doubt about it, the religious right presents a formidable presence here in the southeastern United States. On a day trip down to Greenville, South Carolina, the facade presented by a prospering Southern Baptist megachurch said it all. Four distinct church structures linked by walkways marked the church's growth from its quaint, tiny one-room beginnings to a two-block-long circular building that must rival the Dane County Coliseum in capacity. All along our route, messages of condemnation and judgment poured themselves out on hand-painted signs and sophisticated electronic marquees alike. And yet, my trip here also gives me great hope. The next day, I attended services at a progressive Asheville, North Carolina United Methodist Church where the messages were decidedly far more inclusive. A Bible study on the Ten Commandments quickly became a lively discussion about the need for progressive Christians to stand up and speak out against the very real violence presented by homophobic thoughts and deeds and other forms of intolerance. The morning sermon, delivered with both warmth and inspiring fervor by a female pastor, echoed these themes. It was on that trip to South Carolina, however, where I drew even more hope. There, my friend's 14-year-old granddaughter, Sarah, shared her experiences in moving from liberal suburban Washington to her new conservative southern rural home. An extremely likable and outgoing young woman, she'd become very popular at her new school, even in the face of the rigid and unwavering fundamentalist beliefs of many of her classmates. For months, she felt unheard, but now, more and more often, these other young people found themselves drawn to the critical thinking and alternative views she brought to the table. Slowly but surely, she was beginning to make a difference. As we listened to Sarah, all of us agreed that debating engaging fundamentalists and others in the undecided middle was a difficult but necessary task, because you never know when a door might open in an unexpected place. When it does, young people like Sarah will be there to show others the way. Reporting in from Asheville, North Carolina, this is John Quinlan here on the Mike 92.1.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
The unemployment numbers are lies because the unemployment rate has dropped to a relatively low 5.2%, it says, but that doesn't account for the hundreds of thousands of people that have given up.
What happens is when you stop collecting, you stop being an unemployment statistic. They have dropped out of the labor market so that the number looks good, but the facts tell a different story.
Morning's Edition from 5 to 8.
On Madison's Progressive Talk.
The Mike 92.1.
The American Association of Retired Persons is opposing President Bush's plans for Social Security. Why would they do that? If you want to know the truth about old people, talk to the people who know them.
Old people are needy. I need a ride. I need a walker. I need something to eat. Could somebody please help me? I'm in the toilet. I can't get out. It's horrendous.
I had to spend 15 minutes helping my mother find her glasses because she forgot where she put them. Just forgot.
Dude, they crap in their pants.
Enough about World War II. I get it. You were there.
I'm sorry, but if you're going to dinner at 4 o'clock, you really don't need more money.
You liberated Auschwitz. You were there. I understand. Can we watch The Apprentice now?
And when they wear those diapers, they can pee right on themselves, too. Just pee.
Brian! My name is Brian! God! I remember this one time, my uncle, he was on the floor. I thought he was having a heart attack or he was dead or something. Turns out he wasn't. Just on the floor.
Who the hell is Bobby? Nobody knows Bobby!
Dude, they crapped their pants.
Old people. They oppose President Bush's plans for Social Security. Isn't it time they died already?
Paid for by Switchboat Veterans for whatever cause is being funded by the right-wing millionaires at the moment.
Wow. That's,
you've done it now.
That's powerful stuff. I mean, it's awful what those people do.
Owls. If you missed Al or Randy today, don't worry. We'll get you caught up on the mic overnight. I'm Mike Malloy on the mic 92.1.
Hey, neocons. Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, back to James Dobson. The head of Focus on the Family at this Justice Sunday nonsense in all these houses of ill repute in which this thing was broadcast on Sunday evening. Now, for all of Dobson's trash talk about the activist Supreme Court, did you hear a peep out of him when these or any of these other freaks? When the very same justices appointed Bush as president in 2000, they certainly didn't object to that judicial activism, did they? But, of course, that's an easy one. I'm just stating the obvious. Now, here, this phony-ass Dobson explains why the filibuster is bad. But he's got one thing right in this clip. His description of Republicans is right on.
What's the connection with the filibuster?
Yeah.
Listen carefully, folks. The ballot box is our only means of affecting the court.
What?
It's the only way that we can influence the makeup of the court.
Yeah.
If this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, we have to have a way to let our concerns be known.
Yeah.
And that is done through the people that we elect. And we did that on November the 2nd of last year. And we sent...
Yeah, that we could rig another election! Yeah!
We sent a message to Washington that there was a concern over the judiciary. It was talked about often during the campaign. And yet now a minority of members of the Senate, Democrats essentially, and about six or eight very squishy Republicans, are determined to prevent that influence to be felt on the court.
Yeah, that influence of Christian fascism. See, we're dedicated to Christian fascism, me and my wife and the rest of the freaks around me here. I'm Reverend James Dobson, doctor. Don't forget the doctor. What did he say? If this is a government of, by, and for the people, we have to have a way to let our concerns be known. What? Because the rich, white, male Americans just have it so rough in this country, they just can't catch a break? Is that what he's saying? That white, Christian, male Republicans are having it rough in this country? Is that what he's saying? That white, Christian, male Republicans are just being peed on by the rest of America? Is that what he's saying? Yes, gentle listener, it is. Now, if somebody were to arrive here from another planet and said, what's Christianity about? And would have tuned in Sunday night to hear this drivel, can you imagine how people would have said, what the hell is this? Some kind of a blood cult? Some kind of a death cult? I'm not interested. So, what's Dobson's real goal with this attack on the courts? That's right. For all his quacking about judicial activism, need to uphold the Constitution, he wants to do away with the constitutional provision of separation of church and state. Now, his first line here about the Supreme Court on a campaign to limit religious freedom for 43 years, here comes a bad word. You lying son of a bitch. The United States Supreme Court has done everything in its power to ensure religious freedom.
For 43 years, the Supreme Court has been on a campaign to limit religious freedom, religious liberty.
Ah!
It goes back to 1962 with Bible reading.
Yes,
in 63, prayer in schools, both prohibited. And from there to your state, here in Kentucky, when the Ten Commandments could not be posted on the schools. That was 1980.
This sick, sick old man, you tell me. I'll tell you what. If any regime ever banishes prayer in the schools, I'll take up a gun and start killing those who banished it. Because then we will have devolved into total thought police. This lying old fart stands up there and says that prayer in schools has been prohibited. No, it hasn't. Anybody who goes to any public school can pray until beads of blood break out on their forehead, and no one's going to stop them. What the Supreme Court ruled, you lying old bastard, was that the state, in the person of the teacher, cannot lead a Christian prayer, or a Jewish prayer, or a Buddhist prayer, or an Islamic prayer, or a Wiccan prayer, or any prayer. And the reason for that, Dobson, you lying old bastard, was to guarantee religious freedom. You're going to burn in your own hell, Dobson, you liar, you filthy liar. Prayer was never banned. Bible reading was never banned. Take a Bible to school tomorrow, truth seeker. Huh? Take a Bible to school. And when you take your kid to his or her classroom, stand out in the hallway and read your Bible until school is over. What do you think's going to happen? The police are going to come up and take you away? They may take you away for trespassing. They may think you're some kind of a freak. Bible reading and prayer have never, ever, 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 ever been banned from schools. The leading of Bible readings and prayer by an agent of the state, i.e. a school teacher, has been banned. God! But the terminally brain dead sit there.
Yeah, you know that's right, Reverend Dobson. You know that's right. They took prayer out of the schools, and you know what? Ever since then, my marriage has just been hell. And you know what? My daughter turned to drink, and you know what? My son turned out to be queer. Ever since they took prayer out of the schools, you're right, Reverend Dobson. We got to get prayer back in now. What do we do here? I know. Let's see if we can get Harry Reid, the Democratic leader, to let a couple of our boys through.
Oh, my God. Now, here he is again. And, you know, don't you feel like a silly secular American thinking that we should actually let judges and justices interpret and consider the Constitution when deliberating legal issues? Isn't that what the judiciary, the federal judiciary, is all about? In the name of all things toadstool-like, it's in the name of, I'll think of something, in the name of ladders, in the name of roofing shingles, in the name of bathroom tile, isn't the Constitution... Doesn't it say that the federal judiciary shall determine the constitutionality of a law? Isn't that what it said? But this freak thinks judges should consult the Bible, not the Constitution. And is it me, or does he sound a bit drunk here?
It's a dangerous doctrine to consider judges as ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions.
What
we have today. It is one which would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy.
What?
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
An oligarchy. What's an oligarchy? It is a government by a few. That's what we have. Five black-robed justices on the Supreme Court can tell the rest of us and the other two branches of government how it's going to be. And there is no redress, and there's no second chance.
What?
There's no one else to appeal. And that's what is happening.
You crazy old bastard! What are you talking about? You drunk old fart! having judges interpret the Constitution would place us under the despotism of an oligarchy? What? What?
It is a government by a few. That's what we have. 5 black robe justices.
Sounds like Satanists. Burn them. Burn them.
On the Supreme Court. And then tell the rest of us and the other two branches of government how it's going to be. And there's no redress. You idiot. Did you ever hear of impeachment? You idiot. You moron. And there's no second chance. There's no one else to appeal. And that's what's happening. It really, really is. Oh, you wacky wabbit. You're just a wacky rabbit. Can I get another drink? I show up here to be on this damn TV thing here, and y'all can't keep me in booze? It's a dangerous doctrine to consider judges the ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions. He said that. He said that. You just heard him. You said that. What does that mean? Do you have any doubt? Jew, Gentile, gay, straight, man, woman, black, white, American, native-born, or foreign-born, do you have any doubt now what these people are about? They're about the Christian Reconstruction Movement. They're about killing you if your skin is not a certain color. They're about killing you if your sexual orientation is something you don't like. They're about killing you if you're a child who resists a nastiness from your parents. They're about killing everything and everybody. Do you have any doubt? Give any doubt? There he is, Dobson. It's a dangerous doctrine to consider judges as ultimate arbiters of all constitutional questions. Can I get a drink, damn it? It's the second time you want me to bring down a hellfire on you? Give me some of that, what do you got back there? Huh? You got any gin? I'm kind of partial to gin.
You got, how about that red stuff, that slow gin? I kind of like that. It gives me the diarrhea, but I kind of like it.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Merlin Olson. Have you called the NASE yet? The National Association for the Self-Employed is one of your best resources to obtain access to affordable health, dental, vision, and critical illness plans. The NASE also offers other health, business, and personal benefits. If you are self-employed or own a small business, do what I did. Call the National Association for the Self-Employed. Call today to find out how the NASE can be your best resource for affordable benefits.
Call the NASE now, 800-838-7645, 800-838-7645. Big solutions for small businesses. Insurance plans are underwritten by the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company. Association membership may not be required to obtain insurance, so call right now. 800-838-7645, 800-838-7645. Not available in all states.
Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1 and Cuts Fitness for Men want to help you get cut for a cause. Are you going to race for a cure? Bike across the state to raise funds and awareness. Do you want to be in great shape so you can help your cause even more this year? Get cut for a cause. Log on to themike921.com. Tell us why you want to get cut and what your cause is. 10 qualifiers will train at Cuts Fitness for Men, and our winners will get prizes for themselves and for their cause. Register today at themike921.com.
And now, more of Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, a fair and balanced look at the right.
When I do my corporate speeches, I normally talk to groups that are anywhere from 60 to 97% Republican. They know I'm a liberal, and they're normally aware that they're conservative, so sometimes they're a little nervous that I'll do jokes that make them uncomfortable or angry. Here's how I diffuse the situation. I say, as you can probably figure out from my book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot, I'm a liberal, and I know you're conservative, and that's okay. See, I've discovered that Democrats can't afford me. Huge laugh. They love this. It makes them feel rich. Then I say, so what I do is I make fun of you, you laugh, and then you pay me. Another huge laugh. Now I can say pretty much anything I want, and they'll just laugh and pay me. Everybody's happy. Democrats are a different story. Unlike corporate events, which, by the way, I love, you can book me on the web, I speak to Democrats for free. I try not to do it too often because, you know, a guy's got to eat. So I pick and choose. And the Democrat I did the most speaking for over the years was Paul Wellstone. Part of it was that I grew up in Minnesota, and Paul knew my folks. In Wellstone's first campaign for the Senate in 1990, my dad was part of a senior citizen theater troupe that did skits for Paul at nursing homes. That's pretty grassroots, don't you think? My dad died in 1993, and my mom went downhill pretty fast. They had been married for 51 years. She got depressed and about 4 years ago went into a severe psychotic depression, which brought with it an exciting element of paranoia. One night at the hospital, I went up to one of the nurses and said, "Excuse me, it's kind of awkward to ask this, but I feel out of loyalty to my mom that I should." "Go ahead," she said. "Yeah, what I was wondering is, are you pumping poisonous gas into my mom's room? And are you videotaping her? And are you not really a nurse, but actually an actress who is trying to kill my mom?" "No," said the kindly nurse. I didn't think so, but I felt I had to ask. Fortunately, the doctors pulled Mom out of it with some miracle drug, but she's never really been the same.
Driving under the influence doesn't just mean alcohol. Many common prescriptions and over-the-counter medications, like some antihistamines and anti-anxiety medications, can also impair your ability to drive safely. For more, visit the National Safety Council at nsc.org.
Randy Rhodes, I've been doing Progressive Talk Radio since before there was Progressive Talk Radio. Well, there was. It was just me. So join me weekdays from Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic.
The man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. Okay, very quickly now, the last couple here. This is Bill Frist, his pre-recorded statement for Justice Sunday in these thousand houses of ill repute that carried this. Talk about selective memories. It is, at the very least, disingenuous for Republicans to now claim that their judicial nominee should get votes on the floor of the Senate after they blocked almost 60 of Clinton's nominees from ever even receiving a committee hearing or a vote. During the Clinton years, the method of rejecting scores of judicial nominees was simply to deny them committee hearings and votes. Democrats, on the other hand, always play fair. Currently, Senate Democrats have repeatedly called for nominees to be given a committee vote. Now that judicial nominees are finally receiving this due process, the Republicans don't like it. Listen to the hypocrisy of this senator from Tennessee whose family has been involved in one of the biggest Medicare frauds in the history of Medicare. Listen to this self-righteous, hypocritic thug.
Americans elect their senators to vote on the people's business.
Talk slow.
That is a senator's job, to vote.
Talk slow.
If the senators were not prepared to fulfill their constitutional responsibilities, then why are they here in the first place? Right now, there are 46 vacancies on the federal bench. Four of the appeals court vacancies are in the region that serve my home state of Tennessee.
Yo.
These four nominees have been waiting a combined 13 years for a vote on the Senate floor.
Ew.
13 years.
Ew.
Either confirm the nominees or reject them, but don't leave them hanging.
Yeah.
Don't leave our courts hanging.
Like you did.
Don't leave our country hanging.
Amen and amen. Let's applaud that old sumbitch. Don't leave our courts hanging like we did during the Clinton years.
If these senators are not prepared to fulfill their constitutional responsibilities, then why are they here in the first place, he wants to know.
Okay, well, what's the answer to that? What, kill them, Bill? Pretend they're cats? Let's pretend like they're cats. That'll be easy for you, right? Finally tonight, The cat killer attacks Harry Reid. Listen to his lie. Now, this is a Harry Reid that now wants to cut a deal. Listen to, as the cat killer lies as he criticizes Democrats for coining the term nuclear option. That's not a Democrat term. Huh? It was the Republicans who first used that term. Listen to the lie, and then I'll share the rest of the story. First, here's the cat killer.
My Democratic counterpart, Senator Reid, calls me a radical Republican. I don't think it's radical to ask senators to vote.
Oh, really?
I don't think it's radical to expect senators to fulfill their constitutional responsibilities.
Did y'all find that, Jen?
I don't think it's radical to restore precedents that worked so well for 214 years.
Yeah.
Now, if Senator Reid continues to obstruct the process, we will consider what opponents call the nuclear option. Only in the United States Senate could it be considered a devastating option to allow a vote.
Cat killer!
Most places call that democracy.
Yeah, most places do. But here in the United States, we call that a democratic republic, you moron. This is not a democracy, you moron, you half-witted jerk fool. It's a republic. And you want to, you say you don't think it's radical to restore precedents? Well, let me see. We've always had the filibuster. Don't you remember when your side, when y'all were pretend Democrats used to use it to keep the Negro from getting a vote? You don't remember that, do you, you old bastard? Huh? It's true, Bill. Y'all have always used the filibuster when you didn't like it, when there was more than 30 or 40 of you in the House or the Senate. Y'all don't belong in government anyway. Y'all ought to be out there defrauding Medicare and saving all these rapture Christians from having their little heinies burn off in hell, because it's coming. Oh, Lord, it's coming. Now, as far as the nuclear option is concerned, huh? November 14th, 2004, following exchange on Fox News. Chris Wallace talking to Bill Frist. Wallace. Well, let me ask you about one of them, because some Republicans are talking about what they call the nuclear option. Republicans are talking about that would be a ruling that the filibuster of executive nominees is unconstitutional, which requires 67 votes, but a simple majority of 51. Frist. Yes, that's right. Wallace. Are you prepared to do that? Frist. Oh, it's clearly one of the options. I've always said it's one of the options. What it basically, it's called the nuclear option, and it's really a constitutional option, and what that means is that the Constitution says you as a Senate give advice and consent, and that is a majority of vote. And then when you vote on that, and all it takes is 50 votes to pass. And on November 16th, 2 days later, on NPR, he said, Frist, is what he said. If we continue to see obstruction where out of three of the president's nominees to fill vacancies in the circuit court are being obstructed, then action would be taken. One of those is the nuclear option. The Constitution says advice and consent is the Senate's responsibility. Yada, 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 yada. Will we have to do that? Will we have to take the nuclear option? I can't tell you. But I can tell you if the obstructions are to continue like they have in the past, that clearly is an option that we have on the table. And he just, you know, he lies in these houses of ill repute where he was, where he gave his little tape speech, where he said that Senator Harry Reid continues to obstruct the process. We will consider, Frist said, what opponents call the nuclear option. You're going to burn in hell, Frist, forever and ever. Amen. World without end. Hell is waiting for you. Okay? And Dobson. Can I get some of that gin? And the rest of you lying thugs. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Listen up, men. You can now get a free 30-day sample box of Ensite, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement. Although launched in 2001, Ensite continues to be the best-selling male supplement in North America, with millions of satisfied long-term users. Enzyte customers report significant improvement in sexual response and quality. Non-prescription Enzyte is extremely effective, yet has not shown to interact with medications or have adverse side effects. Enzyte has a 93% customer satisfaction rating and an 83% reorder rate. If you would like a free 30-day sample box, just visit Enzyte.com. That's E-N-Z-Y-T-E.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Free samples are only available while supplies last, so call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290. Enzyte, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement. 1-800-778-5290.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
We are now joined by Father Guido Sarducci from Vatican City.
It's pretty exciting here. We have white smoke coming out of that disgusting smoke. I can't believe, you know, it's so beautiful in Rome. You look out over the skyline, and the first thing the Vatican does after this guy dies is put up with this smokestack, make it look like Gary, Indiana or something.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
Michael Apodaca has thousands of wonderful memories of his daughter Amber. And now, he has a sign on the side of Highway 40 in Winter Park, Colorado, commemorating her death and urging people not to drink and drive. Amber's father remembers that his daughter used to speak with all the confidence and hope of youth that someday thousands of people will know my name. But there is little comfort that her dream has come true. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
This is Ed Schultz on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic.
Streaming online at themic921.com. WXXM Sun Prairie, Madison.
CNN Radio News. I'm Paul Chambers. Rescue efforts are continuing in the train crash near Osaka, Japan, but Atika Schubert reports the job is quite difficult now.
One of the reasons is because the impact of the train onto the apartment building appears to have caused a lot of structural damage to the building, and they're afraid that if they dislodge some crucial parts of the train, that they may cause part of that building to come crashing down. So they have to work very slowly. It is a painstaking job.
At least 73 people died in the train crash, with more than 440 injured. A Senate hearing on Social Security reform is set for Tuesday in Washington. Democratic Senator Max Baucus of Montana says he told Finance Committee Chairman Charles Grassley he'd be delighted to consider reforms, but only after the GOP drops the idea of private accounts.
Chuck Grassley is doing what the president would want him to do. That's hold a hearing on it. I expect senators to use the hearing as an opportunity to express their views. And the main proposal that's generally on the table is the president's.
Senate Democrats are promising a fight. Attorney Brian Oxman no longer represents singer Michael Jackson. Ted Rollins reports the departure was confirmed by lead attorney Thomas Messero.
He is no longer representing Jackson, and outside court in the afternoon, it would appear to be a heated exchange took place between Messero and Brian Oxman. They did end up hugging. We don't know exactly what happened, but Oxman is out.
Also Monday, Jackson's defense team lost its request to bar the singer's ex-wife Debbie Rowe from testifying. U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says she and President Bush still support John Bolton for U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Bolton's confirmation is being held up in the Senate.
We really do need to get this done so that we can get about the really important work of being a part of what is a very important chapter being written in the United Nations history.
Many Democrats allege Bolton doesn't have the temperament for the job. This is CNN Radio News.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest-priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
An alleged heroin trafficker with suspected terrorism ties has been indicted in a massive narcotics conspiracy. Our Gary Baumgarten has details.
Haji Bashir Norzi is accused of leading an international heroin trafficking ring that was based in Afghanistan and Pakistan. David Kelly is the U.S. attorney in Manhattan.
We are here this morning to announce the arrest of Norzi, who is perhaps the most notorious Afghan drug lord, and has built over the last 15 years a multi-million dollar heroin business by forging an unholy alliance with Mullah Mohammed Omar and the Taliban.
The drug operation allegedly exported $50 million worth of drugs to the United States and other countries. Gary Baumgarten, CNN Radio, New York.
A Wisconsin man tells police he kept his mother's body in a freezer for more than 4 years. The woman's body found encased in ice in a sitting position. The man says he wanted to collect her Social Security checks. This is news from CNN Radio. A fifth motorist is targeted in the latest rash of car-to-car shootings on Los Angeles freeways. Jim Roop has details.
Four in recent weeks are shot to death along Southland freeways. This latest victim, a 33-year-old man, is shot in the neck and shoulder, but is able to drive himself to a hospital and is expected to survive. Tustin Police Lieutenant Joe Stickle says although this shooting is near one other in recent weeks, all the car-to-car attacks seem unrelated.
It appears to be a random act at this particular time, but we have no information as to why he was being chased.
The victim tells police he was chased by what appears to be gang members. Drivers are concerned.
Don't drive freeways that much, but yeah, it's scary. I mean, living so close to it, I mean, you know, it could be our parents or anything.
Jim Roop, CNN Radio, Tustin, California.
A Pennsylvania man pleads guilty, causing a disturbance at a Burger King and was sentenced to 45 days in jail. The man faced a variety of charges after being told the restaurant was out of French fries. I'm Paul Chambers. This is the CNN Radio Network.
Big Ed has some big up. Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
You know, I got an email criticizing me saying I shouldn't be saying anything about Jenna Bush because, you know, presidential kids should be off limits and I'm better than that. And frankly, first of all, I'm not better than that. Jenna's an adult.
Yeah, you go out of your way to draw attention to yourself. Say, like, dancing on a tabletop, yeah, flashing your thong. You shouldn't complain about the attention.
Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
The following is a message from Radio for a Hate-Free America.
Hi, I'm Whoopi Goldberg, and I just wanted to say to you, don't mistake terrorism for patriotism. Hate crimes are hate crimes no matter who perpetrates them. Remember, we're all American. Long live us all.
Oppose those who hate. A message from Clear Channel, Radio for a Hate-Free America.
An obedient servant of the truth on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1.
It's about 7 past the hour. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for hanging around. Let's start with Mike, who is calling in from Minneapolis. Hey, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. I just wanted to let you know that I spent Sunday evening in one of those 1,100 houses of ill repute. But I took a shower as soon as I got home. So
God, I hope.
Everything is okay now.
Where were you? Someplace in Minneapolis, I take it.
Yeah, I'm the editor of a website called Cursor.org, and I had posted a link to the Family Researches Council website where you could go in and type in your zip code.
That's right. I saw that. I saw the email, yeah.
Find out the church nearest you.
Right.
And what was interesting was I typed in a variety of different zip codes around the Twin Cities to get an idea of how many churches were hosting this thing, and there was only one. It was a Baptist church in a suburb south of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So I got there. It was a partition of a small gymnasium. There were 70 folding chairs in the room, and when I got there, there were only 15 people there, sitting in front of a 4-by-6-foot projection TV. And throughout the course of the thing, the crowd probably swelled to about 30 people.
Well, I guess that speaks volumes for Minneapolis.
Well, yeah, you're right, it does. Although, given the fact that it was the only church in the area hosting it, I thought there would be more people there. But anyway, it was a decidedly underwhelming turnout. But I can tell you that the guy who got the biggest response was James Dobson. And he especially got a big round of applause when he said that Roe v. Wade had resulted in the deaths of 44 million people.
Oh, I know. Don't you just want to, I can't say it on the air, but let me say this. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? It's just outrageous. And like we've said before, Dobson will burn in hell. There's no question. Dobson will be covered in oil, a kind of oil that keeps your body intact, but causes extreme pain for three or four eternities. I'm sure that's coming because, you know, God doesn't like false prophets. And I don't think any avatar of God likes a false prophet. You know, they call him the Antichrist. They call him demons. So he's cooked. His soul is cooked.
Well, this crowd liked him a lot more than they liked Bill Frist. I can say that the response to Frist was very tepid. And what was funny about it is that Frist was literally out of sync. The audio and video on this thing were off, and it was kind of difficult to pay attention to him because I kept waiting for it to get back in sync, and it never did. But apparently Frist wasn't offering enough red meat because the crowd just did not warm to him.
Well,
and also I noticed that the Family Research Council is saying, here's how they word it, that the broadcast, quote, made its way into 61 million households. Now, the way I understand this thing is you had to order this up on a pay-per-view from some satellite outfit called Sky Angel. So to say that it's made its way into 61 million households, and I must have seen 50 news reports today on Google that quoted the term 61 million households, and some of it just flatly said it reached 61 million households. So you get the idea that a lot of people were watching this, and I honestly don't think that any more people were watching this or than if Frist hadn't been there. I mean, I think it's kind of a good thing that Frist was there because it gives this kind of stuff some exposure. All of this stuff was happening under the radar during the 2004 election. They had their websites, they were emailing, they were doing everything. Now this just kind of shines some light on what they do.
Yeah, well, I think the only people who paid attention are the already converted. Normal people probably didn't pay any attention to this.
Sorry,
I know.
They became aware of it, but you know, I don't think they were likely to watch it or anything like that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks for the report, and I'm glad to hear that in the Minneapolis area there was only one little subterranean group of lost souls, probably people who have died within the past week in car wrecks or whatever, and just happened to gather in the basement of this church.
Actually, it kind of looked like that. It was a pretty elderly crowd.
Well, all right. Well, thanks, Mike.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Stephen is calling from North Miami Beach. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Yes, Mike.
Yes.
I've got some serious stuff to talk about tonight, but I just want to say right off the bat that I actually have a lower opinion of the neocon Republicans than you do.
Yeah, you really?
Yes, take my word for it. Let me get this out of the way first, and then you can talk about whatever you want.
Thank you.
I call this the neocon. Republican neocon song.
No songs, no songs, no, Stephen. No songs, no poems. If you got something you want to say, let's say it.
Okay, I can do that, but not even if it's less.
No. I don't want any songs or poems. I'm too on edge tonight. No songs, no poems, no paintings, no sculpture, nothing. Just say what you called in about, Stephen. You've been holding on for over 2 hours, so let's get it. Okay.
In that case, did you notice late last week those Republicans broke into that restaurant in Seoul, South Korea? You know, the one with the cape, that was Rush Limbaugh.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Steven, get back on the medication. I'll talk to you later. Take care. You have a nice evening. Ay, 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 ay. What? They broke into a South Korean restaurant. What the hell is he talking about, Kathy? You're the producer. Do you have any idea? I don't either. Okay. Steve is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Steve, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, I think.
You are more fun than an atrium full of flying freaking monkeys.
Well, they're good.
I mean that quite sincerely. I'm being serious now.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad that we can bring a chuckle and see it as fun, because you've got to take it in that vein, or you'll just go babbling insane in this country right now.
That's right. I'm on medication. I would have gone a long time ago.
Yeah, so is Steve in North.
For you has caused me to be late for my meds.
Don't want that to happen.
Okay. The most significant thing, I think, is that I wanted to mention tonight to you. It might be an assist in the thing that we're locked, this mortal combat we're locked into by these fascistic evangelists and whatever, and politicians. I think you and I are not historians or perhaps scholars. I'm certainly not, but I try, and you do too.
Right.
And there's a little history went on, like the history of World War II, the history of fascism, the history of Hitler, Mussolini, Franco. All of these things are, we mention Hitler, but we don't talk about that history too much. And the history in the U.S. during those days was very significant. I was too young to really know about it because I was born during the Depression, but I was a little kid. Among the most successful and so-called popular TV broadcasters in those days, and probably up to around 1940 or so, was a Father Coughlin.
Coughlin, yeah, I'm very familiar with him. We've talked about him in this program. He was an anti-Semitic psychopath, and he was on the NBC. NBC had two networks back then, the Red Network, the Blue Network.
Mm-hmm.
Had nothing to do with Red State, Blue State. And he was on the Blue Network, and they finally got rid of him because this guy was out there in the ozone. And anti-Semitism is a hot topic in America. It always has been.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Henry Ford and Charles Lindbergh and yada, 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 just going on, and Bush's grandpappy and all these people. Mm-hmm. But, Father Coughlin, I'm very familiar with. I've heard tapes, old audio tapes of this thug when he was on the air. What surprises me is that he was on NBC for as long as he was, until you stop and think that anti-Semitism is as American as apple pie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So was anti-Catholicism. So was anti-Italian. My grandparents had to suffer through the anti-Italian thing in the 20s because of Sacco and Vanzetti. So, this country has the potential... the grandest, most beautiful fascist country in the history of the human race. The United States. Not Spain, not Japan, not Germany, not Italy, but the United by God States. We have the potential
On what you're saying there, it's good to remember that we all pretty much are beginning to understand that these evangelistic, fascist-minded politicians, the whole group, many of them are descendants of Klanners.
That's right, absolutely.
And the Klan used to lynch a lot of Catholics and Jews, not just blacks.
That's right, they did. All right, Steve, got to leave there. Thank you, Steve, I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Quick break, we'll be back. I'm Mike Pallone.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're a horse owner, you should know that West Nile virus remains a deadly threat for virtually every horse in the U.S. Protect your champion with West Nile Innovator, the original West Nile virus vaccine. No West Nile vaccine has been proven more effective or protected more horses with more than 16 million doses safely administered coast to coast. Ask your veterinarian for West Nile Innovator today or visit equinewestnile.com from Fort Dodge Animal Health.
Sam's Club was founded more than 20 years ago to give small business owners the purchasing power of big businesses. Today, we remain committed to this focus as we recognize America's entrepreneurs during National Small Business Week. Join us at your local Sam's Club for an appreciation breakfast held in your honor. Thursday, April 28th, anytime between 7 and 10 a.m. The first 100 attendees will receive By the Seat of Your Pants, the No-Nonsense Business Management Guide by Tom Geekax. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
The Al Franken Show, proving the truth is entertaining.
It's been about 20 minutes, almost a half hour since the white smoke started. Oh, no.
Ratzinger.
I can't believe
it. Who is it?
Oh, it's Ratzinger.
Ratzinger.
Oh, oh my.
Unbelievable. Right now, you know why he didn't come out? They probably gave him a pint of blood or something.
The Al Franken Show, weekdays at 11 on Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, streaming at themike921.com.
You know, my therapist tells me I got to write down my dreams every night, so this is my one from last night, my dream from last night. So I'm at this mega church in Kentucky, Riley, for the Justice Sunday show. Problem is, I'm locked in an 8-foot steel cage with a cloth draped over it. Outside my cage, I can hear James Dobson screaming about people of faith being attacked and roasted and eaten. I hear the word Shivo, judicial homicide, and Ron Jeremy. I'm not sure what he had to do with it, but suddenly I feel myself being carried on stage and the cloth is removed. I'm hit in the eyes with this intense bright light and immediately hundreds of neocons start booing and throwing dirt clods and ball peen hammers and mashed potatoes and gravy and doll parts at me. James Dobson sneers and points at me and says, "Brothers and sisters, gaze upon the liberal Jew. Listen to his obstructionist filibuster. Listen to his satanic hate speech. Given half a chance, he'd kill Jesus all over again." Dobson gets a long, sharp stick, reaches through the bars, and pokes me hard in the ribs. He says, "Wouldn't you, huh?" I say, "Ow! Hi, I'm Mark Maron, and this is Morning Sedition." Everybody starts booing and throwing dirt clods at me. "Today, the neocon, death cult, Christo fascist, zombie brigade, boo! Boo!" Dobson pokes me again and barks, "Silence, heathen! What say you, good people? Shall we kill this sinner?" A huge roar went up. "Yeah! Stone him! Stone him!" Dobson raises his hand for quiet and says, "I have a better idea." Then these big guys pick up my cage and lower me into a baptism tank. Dobson screams, "Convert the devil!" I'm underwater for a long time. I start to black out. I see a tunnel and a white light. My dead cat Butch smoking a cigarette. Then they pull me back up, dripping and gasping. And Dobson says, "What say you now?" I say, "Christo fascist. Zombie." Dobson says, "Then you have chosen your own fate." They open the cage, and I look up and see four hungry lions circling me, and above them three giant video screens of four hungry lions circling me. I hear an announcer, "When we return on Justice Sunday, the obstructionist liberal gets his just desserts," right after these messages. I woke up, and my bed was filled with Polident.
You know, you can be issued a hefty ticket for being caught on a railroad crossing when a train's approaching. Of course, you may not be alive to pay the fine. So, stop, look, and listen.
Progressive alerts. Join the open mic at themike921.com. Now, more progressive talk on the mic.
If you're not outraged, then you're just not paying attention. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, Scott is calling from St. Louis. Scott, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, the Christian right wants to save a vegetable and kill 100,000 Iraqi civilians. And, you know, I'm ashamed because of people like that, like Dobson. I'm ashamed to admit a lot of times that I am a Christian, but... I don't know. I think maybe God should throw out the Christians and pick the liberals and the atheists and the agnostics such as yourself. Because they seem pretty useless to me.
Yeah, the Christians do?
Yeah, especially American Christians. I mean,
well, let's differentiate here, because there are an awful lot of decent people who do an awful lot of wonderful work, who claim the mantle of Christianity, who are followers of Christ. And to those people, I have the deepest, and I've said this before, a deep, abiding respect, because it's not an easy road. I do believe those people are few and far between, because if you really take up the message of Christ, you're not the least bit materialistic, and you're out there doing those things in the name of Jesus to glorify God. And I just don't see very many Christians like that anymore. I know they're out there. I know they do exist, and I know they're doing that work. And I have deep respect for them, just like I have respect for Jews who are doing the work of social justice and protecting the rights of minorities. Just like I have respect for Muslims who are trying to project into life an honest, a decent way of living. Like I have respect for Wiccans who say that the earth is sacred. And let's not, you know, you understand where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the...
But I just hate it, you know, I'd hate it to paint, have someone paint all Muslims, or all Jews, or all Christians, or all Wiccans, or all Buddhists with the same brush. There are varying degrees of this. I know what you're saying, Scott, I really do. But
they're giving God a bad name.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. They're giving all of it a bad name. And, you know, by the same, I didn't finish. I have a lot of respect also for humanists, for atheists who are living moral, ethical lives. You do not have to subscribe to a religion in order to live a moral, ethical life. There are so many people, religious and non-religious, who have laid out over the course of human history what constitutes ethical behavior, what constitutes moral behavior. And some of the most ethical and moral people in the history of the human race have been people who rejected the idea of a cloud being or some sort of supernatural world that's populated by, you know, angels and spirits and so on and so forth. So you can have it either way. Justifiably ethical people can be found in the religious community and certainly outside of the religious community. So let's give them all a nice hand, okay?
Okay.
All right. What else you got, Scott?
Well, yeah, also the thing with God telling Bush to go and abort Iraqi babies.
Yeah, wasn't that nice? Yeah.
I mean, every American Christian should stand up against that kind of lie, and unfortunately most of them didn't.
Yeah, I hear you. Scott, thanks for checking in. We live in. All right. Thanks a lot, sir. We live in some weird times. We just do. Who was it today? Paul Waldman, who's a senior fellow with Media Matters for America, has this piece that's out on. Jim Turr sent this to me from Blue Canyon Productions. He writes about, Paul Waldman writes about, we have the judicial war on faith. Now, this is in the fevered brains of these believers, that there's something called a war on faith. And what it consists of is liberals drunk on their overwhelming power smash mighty fists down on the tender heads of righteous yet weak conservatives who absorb blow after debilitating blow until they can stand no more and rise up to restore all that is right and good with America. This was the message we heard on Justice Sunday, the all-star gathering of the radical religious right Sunday night in Louisville. Like-minded Americans were told that nothing is more important than confirming the 10 Bush nominees that Democrats have held up in the Senate. Indeed, as Focus on the Family's James Dobson told viewers, the future of democracy depends on the outcome of this issue. One might have thought there were more pressing concerns in America today. Persistent poverty, 45 million Americans without health insurance, environmental degradation, yada, 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 yada. To hear them tell it, conservatives are always the underdog, besieged and kept down by those with the real power. The act of hanging an American flag on their porch could bring a Molotov cocktail thrown through their front window by roving gangs of thought police. A cross worn on a necklace sure to bring arrest. The ordering of a Budweiser greeted with withering contempt from the microbrew cognoscenti. The triumph of liberal totalitarianism with the abolishment of the family and religion and free speech that all people hold dear is forever just around the next corner. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn 2 or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about 1 in 3 people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-800-79-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think Nexium, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if Nexium is right for you.
Do you want to get out of debt and get on with your life? Then let the agencies offering Care One Credit Counseling Services help you. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? Have you been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Well, learn how you can put an end to the calls, get out of debt, and get on with your life. Call Care One Credit Counseling Services today. Here's the number, 800-423-0706. 800-423-0706. With just one call, find out how you can lower your monthly payment and pay off your debt in full quicker. Some of our customers save up to 57% on their payments every month. The credit counseling agencies that give you Care One services are nonprofit. They work with voluntary contributions. So call now for your free consultation and debt analysis. 800-423-0706. 800-423-0706. 800-423-0706.
Big Brothers Big Sisters presents 100 Years of Helping Kids.
Today, Kyle and his big brother, Justin,
hello,
hi, are here to share some stuff we've learned.
From time to time, a kid may double dare you.
That looks heavy. Bet you can't lift it.
Are you serious?
I double dare you.
Okay. See? I told you. Uh-oh.
Moments like these happen every day.
To find out the many ways you can help support kids in your community, call 1-888-412-BIGS or go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. This message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
She's fed up with the right. Aren't you? The Randy Rhoads Show, here on the mic, 92.1.
While Washington's been obsessed with Tom DeLay, the religious right, and Terri Schiavo, they haven't noticed that America's economic life is in danger. Inflation's on the rise, but income isn't. Bush's handling of the economic issues, or lack of it, is beginning to contribute to his falling poll numbers. You know, in the heartland, only 36% of Iowans approved of Bush's handling of the economy as a whole. Only 24% of Iowans approved of his handling of the federal budget. And only 26% approved of his efforts to change Social Security. Now, it's not like the Hill's been ignoring the economy completely. Bush did help pass a new bankruptcy law. That law makes it harder for American households who are being eaten alive by credit card rates so high it would embarrass the mafia to declare bankruptcy if, say, they got hit with a child's medical bills. Rates are likely to top 30%. That's not interest, that's VIG. Bush also passed legislation that restricts class action lawsuits, which save huge corporations millions of dollars. The average CEO makes $9 million a year. Yeah, he needs protection. You know what you make. 60% of corporations don't even pay their taxes. And this in a time of war. You know what you pay every week. But I guess it's hard to relate to gas being $3 a gallon when he's gotten a free ride his entire life. I'm Randy Rhoads, and that's a full lid for now.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Guess the quote. Here we go. I think it's a nutty idea to fool around with the Social Security system and run the risk of hurting the people who've been saving all their lives. It may be a new idea, but it's a dumb one.
Rob Reiner.
George H.W. Bush.
What?
Yeah, he actually said that in a response to a question from fellow presidential candidate Pete DuPont during a presidential debate. George H.W. didn't think that was such a good idea.
Stephanie Miller.
Oops.
Weekday mornings at 8 on Madison's Progressive Talk, The Mic 92.1.
I'm sitting on a red velvet stool wearing a yellow bowler hat and holding a banana. All right? Oh, yeah, and I'm wearing a leash. A red velvet curtain opens and 200 vacant-eyed fat people sneer at me and tap the glass, even though the sign clearly says, please don't tap the glass. I hear a barker's voice. Come on, come all, step right up and gaze upon Mark, the lovable radio freak. All the way from the wilds of New Mexico, this bizarre man-diva will astound you. Watch him battle to the death with hostile email. Watch him perform an amazing facsimile of radio talk show with teases and hard outs. You'll swear it's real. Watch Mark alienate his own kind by being too funny. Watch Mark bash organized religion and their phony gods. You won't want to miss Mark as he self-destructs with liberal guilt. His heartbreaking meltdowns will move you to tears. And don't forget his diet. You will witness this weight-conscious wonder eat carrots and kale raw. Then watch him shove chocolate cake into his mouth as fast as he can eat it. If there's any sitting within arm's length, you will hear Mark plug as many appearances at comedy clubs nationwide as often as 3 times an hour. 5 minutes with Mark and you'll want to take him home. Come on, Mark, do a little dance for the nice people. So I get up and dance a little hornpipe and then hold out my yellow bowler. The fat people fill it with rocks and chewed gum. So I throw my poop at them. I woke up and my bed was filled with bearded ladies. And that part was true. Not really.
Just like Madison. Now, more progressive talk from the Mic 92.1. You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Six before the hour, Deborah is calling from New Jersey. Deborah, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello. I'm not calling about the topic du jour, even though I grew up, was raised and baptized in one of the church traditions at the very center of this movement. And I also grew up in the small town in Ohio called Lancaster that both the New York Times and BBC News consider to be ground zero for this movement. I actually wanted to talk about Henry Waxman's letter to Condoleezza Rice about her pulling the World Terrorism Report in order to strip it of its statistics.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, but it's up to you, because Henry had to write last year, too, because the State Department had seriously fudged its statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a report, as you know, released every year, and it was released on April 29th, and Dick Armitage did the honors because the statistics showed a decided drop in 2003 over 2002, thus proving that the Bush people were winning their self-declared global war on terrorism. And Henry went over the statistics and, using the State Department methodology of the past 20 years, saw that it was actually more than triple what had been published. And so he wrote Secretary Powell and said as much. And Powell was so embarrassed, he pulled the report and then reissued it later in the summer with corrected statistics. And I thought it was a good comparison and contrast between the always ethically compromised but accountable Colin Powell versus the totally compromised and totally unaccountable Condoleezza Rice.
Right. Well, Condoleezza is on the inside track. She's with the neoconservatives, whereas Colin Powell wasn't, and that's one of the reasons he's gone and she's here. But this destroying the numbers, this is so 1984. This is so Orwellian. From 03 to 04, the number of terrorist acts went up by a factor of five.
Exactly.
By a factor of five.
Yes, and as much in 2003 over 2002.
And it's just astonishing. So here, once again, the American public does not get to see of the bodies of dead soldiers coming back to this country. The American public is not to know how many Iraqis have been murdered. The American public is not to understand that acts of terror are increasing because of these thugs that now run this country. The American public is not to know anything except that the greatest chore, the greatest obstacle facing this republic is the confirmation of Bush's neo-Nazis to their federal judgeships. That's what we are to know.
Yeah, well, these are folks who understand very well the power of the word to create reality. And a psychologist called Rollo May in the early 70s talks about political schizophrenic speech, where you have such a gap between what you say and what you do. And
sure.
The sin of duplicity. And at the core of the biblical tradition, core of Bible, is the power of the word to create reality and the uniting of word with deed. And the more it splits, the more sin there is. In fact, the Hebrew word for Satan or Satan means simply the divider, the one who divides, who sets people against in opposition. And in that sense, the folks in Louisville could be, in a rather literal way, be characterized as a satanic movement, as a divisive movement.
Well, I hear you. And Deborah, thank you. You're very well spoken. I like what you've said, and I appreciate you checking in, okay?
Sure enough.
All right. You have a nice evening. I wish I could talk like that instead of this hysterical nonsense I get into. Thanks, Deborah. Really, I appreciate it. Chuck is calling from Massachusetts. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the program. Yo, Chuck, how you doing?
Sorry, Mike. Had to get rid of the earphone and mic.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for a little while, you need to have.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry.
That's okay.
Right.
I sent you an email last night apologizing for the last time I was online. I said a word I shouldn't have.
Okay, well, your apology is accepted. But tonight, you've called about
theocracy.
Well, that's the word of the day, of the month.
Yeah, I know. You were talking about it earlier. I told you, screener, that you were just going off tonight on that one. So,
I hate them. They turn my stomach. Nothing turns my stomach more than someone who will take the message of Jesus or Muhammad or Moses or whoever it is and turn it into something hateful and vicious and evil and mean. You know, religion is such a delicate balance between this world and the next, according to the believers. And to use it to terrorize people the way, the Christians are doing it now in this country, as an absolute weapon of destruction. I just hate them. I hate their guts. I just hate them so bad I can't express it, Chuck.
Exactly. That's the you know what? You just blew me away with that one. That's the only way to put it. Because, you know, I married somebody who I was on the opposite side of when it comes to religion, and the word God just means so much different. She was a Jesus. I was a God. And it was, I believe in God, she believes in Jesus, and it's like, you just, how can you twist it? How can you twist it?
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
How can he do that? Well, I don't want to say he, because you know Bush is not the one in charge. You know, how can they do that? And they are. They're doing it for fear. They're doing it for fear, and I could just go into 1,000 conspiracy theories, but how they're going to control us all with it?
No, not all of us.
Well,
not those of us who are well armed and know how to use our weapons. No, they're not going to control us.
By the way, we're all well armed with guns, right?
Well, I'm not talking about well armed with the spirit.
Exactly. Well armed with the mind is what counts, right?
I hear you. Chuck, I got to move on. Thanks a lot, pal.
I'll let you go, too, with that one.
All right, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, I just, that's the thing. I've said it before. I'll say it again. The thing that makes me furious against these phony Christians, these people who, when I refer to these 1,000 churches as houses of ill repute, I know what I'm saying, to invite the devil in. The way they invited Dobson and the rest of these thugs to actually come into a sanctuary. I don't know what these churches preach. I know some of them are mega churches. The only photos I saw, unlike Mike in Minneapolis, I didn't see 30 or 40 people. I saw the photographs of thousands of people sitting there. And I don't know how many, I'm going to racialize this now, I don't know how many black folk were in these various congregations, but all I saw was primarily these white faces, these kind of Stepford faces. And once again, I look at these people and think, you know, I share to some degree the racial background of these people, and not quite. I'm from, you know, my people are mostly from Southern Europe, which means we're a little bit suspect as to our racial purity. But, you know, I can fake it. A lot of people think I'm just totally white. And I look at these people and I think to myself, my God, why are they all so pasty-faced with their heads kind of rolled back? And I can't stand it. I can't stand it to see sanctuaries. I have been in sanctuaries. I have sung in a church choir. I have gone to church. I went to church for years and years and years and struggled with it, trying to decide, do I need this in order to live a moral or ethical life? Am I so afraid of what happens at the instance my consciousness clicks off and I, quote, die, unquote, that I have to go through this? And the answer came back to me after decades. No, you don't have to. Let it go. It's nonsense. And it is for me. For you, it may be the most intense personal part of your life. And if so, good on you. I have no problem with it. It's none of my business. Just like my non-belief in any of these systems is any of your business. I talk about it because these murderers of religion, these murderers of Christianity and Judaism and Islam bring it out and constantly throw it in our faces, And I can't sit back and pretend like everything's okay. You know, I can't do it. I just simply can't do it. These people just turn my stomach. And if it turns out that the religious side is right, my ass is going to float in nothingness for all of eternity while everybody else has a good time in heaven or a bad time in hell. And that's all right. I mean, you roll the dice, right? You roll the dice. But I'll tell you what, if this stuff, if Dante was correct and all these rings of hell exist for all these slobs and thugs and nasty, nasty, nasty people like the Dobsons and the Falwells and the Robertsons and the rest of these people who do anything and everything to divide and separate and destroy and condemn and curse, their vile of the words that just poison the atmosphere and capture people's minds and destroy the human spirit and cloud the intellect. There is a hell waiting for these people, if it turns out to be right, that is going to be so intense. It's going to be just whatever it is, you know. My grandmother used to say, well, you know, Mike, there's a lake of fire. Well, maybe there is, Grandma, but I'll tell you what else. There's also places where the freeze your asses off for all eternity. There's places where snakes, scorpions, and spiders will munch on them for all eternity. There's places where they'll have to listen to George W. Bush speeches for all of eternity. There's all sorts of levels of hell, if it exists, right? But like I said, you roll the dice. You do it every day that you get up, don't you, Truth Seeker? We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen up, men. You can now get a free 30-day sample box of Enzyte, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement. Although launched in 2001, Enzyte continues to be the best-selling male supplement in North America with millions of satisfied long-term users. Enzyte customers report significant improvement in sexual response and quality. Non-prescription Enzyte is extremely effective, yet has not shown to interact with medications or have adverse side effects. Enzyte has a 93% customer satisfaction rating and an 83% reorder rate. If you would like a free 30-day sample box, just visit Enzyte.com. That's Enzyte.com. Or call 1-800-778-5290. Free samples are only available while supplying.
supplies last. So call 1-800-778-5290. 1-800-778-5290. Enzyte, the once-a-day tablet for natural male enhancement. 1-800-778-5290.
Morning's Edition. Overthrow your morning radio routine.
Now, let's take a snapshot of where we are with this economy in terms of working people. Corporate America is making goo gobs of money by keeping wages down, by saying to workers, you don't want to work here? I got 25 people ready to take your place tomorrow.
Morning's Edition from 5 to 8. On Madison's Progressive Talk. The Mike 92.1.
I go to the therapist today. I've been writing my dreams down all week. This is last night's. I'm sitting at a diner with Jesus. He's having an egg white omelet. I say, so what do you think of the new Pope? Jesus. Jesus says, Ratzinger? Yeah, I know him. I sat in on a few of the calls. I say, you know, he was in the Hitler Youth, right? Jesus says, you got to get past this whole do I know stuff thing, Mark. Just assume that I know. I say, he was in the Hitler Youth, man. Jesus says, yeah, I heard you, and I forgive him. That's my job. Anyways, he was young. He was like the Boy Scouts. What are you going to do, make a kid cry? And why do they have to put jelly in these little packets? I say, how did this Pope thing get so complicated anyway? Seems like a lot of dressing up and parading around to me. Jesus says, I know. I didn't make the apostles wear a uniform. It was always casual Friday for those cats. And you know what I never did? Build me a huge marble palace because I really need one of those. Feed the poor? That I did. That I said a lot. But all the black smoke and white smoke and going out on the balcony stuff, that's just showbiz. I say, if that's all showbiz, why do you need a pope? Jesus says, I don't need a pope. Some of you do, though, so I roll with it. I say, but when you watch all the ceremony, does it make you a little crazy? Jesus says, a little. Sometimes I look at the TV and I say, hey, shouldn't all this be up to me? And why don't I get to pick the pope? I say, well, why don't you? Jesus wipes his mouth and puts down his napkin. Okay, I will. Waitress? She comes over and says, need your check, hon? I say, Jesus says, no. He looks at her name tag. Dorothy, you're the Pope. Pope Dorothy, right here, everybody. All hail Pope Dorothy. Handpicked by me, Jesus. Do what she says. Dorothy says, well, thanks, Jesus. What do I do now? Jesus says, well, you can get me some more coffee. And then whatever you want, Dorothy, you're the Pope. We got up to leave, and Jesus picked up the check, which turned into a white dove and flew away. Jesus turned to me and whispered, don't tell anyone, but sometimes I dine and dash. I woke up, and my bed was filled with iodized salt.
Ooh. Help the Arbor Day Foundation, family needs across the nation, and a dream today for all the world to share.
This is Crystal Gale. For more information, go to arborday.org.
Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1, congratulates Mike Malloy, winner of the 2005 Best Talk Show Air Award.
Border to border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
10 before the hour, as usual, thanks to the crew who put this program together. In New York City, Colin Tipton and Jason Isaac and David Fazekas. Thanks, guys. In Minnesota, Chris, our senior correspondent, Ben in Illinois, who runs White Rose Society, Mark, who is our webmaster in New York State, Jim in Arkansas, who's our music bureau chief, and thanks to Catherine Bay, our executive producer. All right, where are we? Right here. Gene is calling from Oregon. Gene, welcome to the program. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I promise no songs, no palms, no swear words, and no death threats.
Okay, good.
Just a real quick little message to Senator Reid.
All right, go ahead.
Senator Reid, I realize it's probably past your bedtime, and even if it's not, you obviously don't have the liver to listen to the show, because we use words here that are obviously a little too much for your dainty constitution, but please, Senator, please, 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 don't compromise on the filibuster bill. I mean, it's sort of like date rape. You know how it is, Senator, how they say date rape when they compromise with us, but they really mean them. So anyway, Senator, please, please, if you don't have this fine for it, it's okay. to step down, let an adult handle it. It's okay to admit that you're just not up to the job. Please, Senator, do something. Either stand up or get out of the way. Now, just one other thing for Minister Dobson.
Yeah.
Dear Minister Dobson, I just got to remind you of the Bible verse that says, as ye sow, so shall ye also reap.
Right.
So if we lose a filibuster because of you, just wait 10 or 20 or 50 years, Senator or Minister, and you'll know how we feel. And, oh, by the way, Minister, may you live long enough to see your granddaughter plant a really humongous, terrific, beautiful tongue kiss on her lesbian lover just before you kick off for the great beyond that you're always mumbling about. Enjoy the nice warm weather, Senator Minister. Have a nice night, Mike.
All right, thanks, Gene. A little bit there for everybody, right? Peter's calling from Tallahassee. Hey, Peter, how you doing?
Hey, Mike, I'd like to kiss you, but I just washed my hair.
I hear that.
Mike, you know, I gotta thank you for connecting the dots with Jeff Gannon earlier. You know, he's definitely sleeping with Scotty.
With somebody, maybe Karl Rove. It might be Karl Rove.
Oh, that's too ugly to even think of.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just, you know, come on out and say it.
Nothing wrong with that. But I think you got it right. Yeah, I was going to talk to you just quickly about the Help America Vote Act back in 2002. You know, it was formed after the horrible problems we had here in Florida in the 2000 election. Well, The fellow who was the chairman of that, his name is Soares, is resigning. He said in an interview Friday that his resignation is taking effect this week. He says the reason why, quote, that all four of us, apparently there are four of them in the office, all four of us had to work without staff, without offices, and without resources. You know, it's a complete joke, the whole thing about any sort of election reform. If you'll remember George Bush in the 2004 election, he was informed the evening of the election that he was losing, and not only was he was losing badly, and he chuckled, and he goes, oh, don't pay any attention to the exit polls, ha, ha, ha. He knew the fix was in.
Yeah.
And what I'm getting at is you know, it's great to hear about the victories, like nobody showing up at the houses of ill repute to hear that, and the various victories that we're having. But we have to remember we're playing cards in their casino as long as they own the voting machines.
That's sure the truth.
And I know you guys at Air America are going to turn up the heat as we get close to 2006 about the election, the voting machines, because, man, no matter what, I mean, it's incredible. Like, what's his name, Catherine Blackwell? Okay. He's Catherine Blackwell, you know, the contempt he treated the members of Congress, you know, after what he pulled in Ohio in 2004.
I know.
Oh, these people.
And, you know, poor old Ken Blackwell, who you're referring to, the Secretary of State of Ohio, he honestly thinks that these racist white people in Ohio are going to elect him governor. You know, as everyone knows, he's an American of African descent. And everybody should know that. And I don't understand why Blackwell. That's the reason Blackwell's doing this. Is he thinks he's going to be the governor of Ohio, and for Blackwell to be governor of Ohio means that. Now, I've got family and friends in Ohio, so I'm not knocking everybody. I'm just talking about the state overall. Ohio is just as racist as Mississippi. There's no question about it. Well, Mike, we had a black man as the Secretary of State. Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. So this guy thinks he's going to be the governor of Ohio, and that's the reason he acted like such a fool during the recount thing, or during the election thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I do know exactly what you're saying.
Well, there you go, then.
And it just goes to show how stupid he is on a fundamental level, because it is the higher-up Republicans who've convinced him he's going to be the governor.
That's right. That's right. I love the way these Republicans borrow the rhetoric from the civil rights movement. They try to borrow the words of Dr. King. They try to borrow the words of Andy Young. They try to borrow the words of these people who fought and died and got lynched and marched and struggled for human rights and civil, so-called civil rights are really human rights. And these Republicans, every time they do that, every time they borrow a single word, Peter, a single sentence, a single phrase, they're just making their time in hell longer, because what they're doing is perverting and prostituting in their world the entire human rights movement in this country. And I you know, I loathe them for it. Peter, I would have kissed you too, but I'm going to go home and do my hair. You have a nice evening, okay?
tell your family hello for me.
I'll do it. Take care, Peter. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. Damn. Let's go home and have a tall one, Kathy. Jesus, I need a Jack Black and Coca-Cola. I swear to God. I'll see y'all tomorrow night, okay? Take care now, all right? Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
For the best in truth-telling independent news, subscribe to Mother Jones Magazine at readmojo.com. This month, learn how 40 media outlets and nonprofits are saying that global warming doesn't exist after they got $8 million from ExxonMobil. Read about a sperm bank that only took donations from Nobel Prize winners. Plus, catch up on the latest in music, books, politics, and culture. Subscribe today at readmojo.com. Mother Jones brings you hard-hitting investigative reporting at readmojo.com.
Good news about Aleve for those with arthritis pain. Reports are out about an independent government panel. According to the New York Times, several panel members said that patients in need of pain relief should first try naproxen, sold as Aleve, before COX-2 inhibitors. Forbes.com says the committee considered naproxen to be the safest NSAID from a cardiovascular standpoint. If you suffer from arthritis, ask your doctor about the good news. Ask your doctor about Aleve. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Stephanie Miller is taking back America for the rest of us.
Vice President Dick Cheney wanted to keep a relatively low profile in President Bush's second term, but that apparently not possible. He has been reanimated.
My non-flamboyant, straightforward style tests well with